The following podcast contains naughty language and ridiculous situations. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, people have already told me that on October 13th, 2017, there are people coming from different coasts, people coming from different countries. There's even people coming all the way from Sturbridge, Massachusetts. But now, I suspect, as J.R. would have said on the television show, that the movie we're watching this week is named after, business is about to pick up. October 13th, 2017, the Cove Music Hall, the Trick-or-Treat Radio Masquerade Extravaganza, will be co-headlined by none other than us, the Deadites, with none other than me, Dynamo Mars, making his return. But along with us that night, on stage, for the first time in about 2 years, I think, ladies and gentlemen, the return of Teal. And welcome to Trick or Treat Radio.
Welcome to episode 253 of Trick or Treat Radio. Trick or Treat Radio is a phantasmagorical spin kick straight through the heart of pop culture, navigated by the Deadites. The Deadites are the world's greatest electroshock band. We destroy monsters, we drink booze, we win championship belts, and we also review movies named after our wrestling shows.
Or Eddie Murphy's stand-up comedy shows.
It is Wednesday Night Raw!
Bark out!
Anything can happen on Wednesday Night Raw!
Unbelievable!
Tell him, Mean Gene!
Puppies!
The Snobber Knocker!
By God Almighty!
He's broken in half! I've got him, my witness!
You're fired!
Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
You want me to kick his ass?
Give me a hell yeah! It is Wednesday Night Raw!
You want me to eat this girl's finger? Give me a hell yeah!
What?
Are we going to interrupt each other by saying what every fucking...
I fucking hope not.
What?
Don't. Just don't.
What?
In honor of this occasion...
I will crown you with this microphone if you say it one more time.
A friend of mine...
What?
A dear friend of mine who couldn't be here tonight, in honor of this special occasion of Wednesday Night Raw, has a question for you. We all live. Question number one, Montezero.
Yes.
It's been open for 3 days. How many times have you eaten at Bradish's? How many times have you eaten at Bradish's?
Once so okay. Far.
Jesus Christ.
He was the first customer of the season.
Now he wants me to ask you, how many times have you eaten at Five Guys?
Ever?
It doesn't matter how many times you've eaten at Five Guys. The Mars says hello. Don't do that.
You're going to pop. Yeah, you're going to pop.
You're going to pass
out. Oh, my God.
That's a Jericho pop.
What the hell are you doing? That looks so weird.
That's what Jericho did, remember?
No,
not at all.
Did he
when he made his
joke?
Debut on Raw. When he made his debut on Raw, and The Rock told him, you know, it doesn't
Some
matter.
Some jabroni named Hooventude.
I got two other things of business before we talk about
Suck
the big
it.
Announcement.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not two words.
First off.
Oh, yeah.
It is really bothering me that there is a small group Like, it's really baffling with all the shit that's with elected officials saying that God will take care of global warming.
He's got this.
Right? Okay.
Covfefe.
Covfefe. There are people who have time, right? Okay? To be complaining that they are not included in a Wonder Woman screening. There are people that are fucking furious. And these people, no offense if you're one of them, these people are obviously virgins and single. You know how I know that?
Covfefe.
I love my girlfriend very much.
Word.
But I have been with her, pretty much married to her, for just about 16 years now. And for me, it's like, hey, you go into that Wonder Woman screening? You going to go see Wonder Woman? Because right. I definitely have fucking some Teen Ape to watch, and I can't watch that when you're home. So I can tell that these people are either like in new relationships, but, you know, let's be honest, probably not in relationships at all. Yeah, and they're mad about Wonder Woman. Like, who cares that you can't go? Why do you have to fucking go to everything? Why does everything have to
they
be
don't,
so
They're not
cool?
even going
to
go.
Well, here's the thing. They're pissed off because they made Wonder Man a woman.
Fair.
Simon Williams.
Right. I got you. Yeah. But there's something really important that I need to talk about to all the people at Trick or Treat Radio here.
Yes.
Even more important than the announcement I made in the thing. There is something going on right now that I don't hear anyone else talking about but me.
An epidemic?
Not an epidemic. The reverse of an epidemic. This is like a zombie who, like, if zombie patient zero got stuck in a broom closet for a while and, like, you know, Snyder hasn't opened the fucking broom closet and got bit by him and, you know, started the zombie epidemic. This is on the down low. I thought it was done, but no, it's still going. I don't know if it's worldwide. I don't know, but there's okay. there's a small local establishment in New England called the Burger King.
The Burger King. I've never heard of this.
Okay.
Self-proclaimed Burger King.
And they have a drink called the fucking Fruit Loop Shake.
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
But no one has, like, I've heard no one else talk about this, and I know no one's had it because they would be fucking talking about it incessantly.
I've had it.
Isn't it the best?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. This shake is legitimately like they found fucking Toucan Sam in a glacier.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, frozen.
Follow your nose.
Right? They unthawed him, and he came in your mouth.
It always knows.
That's how fucking that's how delicious this is.
Wait, we got to fucking go. That sounds
no, let's stop the show. Let's go now.
Yeah, this is.
I'm all for that because it's really good.
It's like a fucking delicious bowl of Fruit Loops, but if the milk was
it's like,
ice cream,
it's like Jesus came in your mouth, right?
Yeah, it is amazing. Wow. It is.
Wow.
Yeah, if he comes Fruit Loops, yeah.
It's like that scene in the movie we watched today, except like I'm down in front of Toucan Sam.
And let's put it this way. If you can come Fruit Loops, you deserve to be called Jesus.
Right.
Oh, Cecil Hand says, I had it, Mars. It's the shit.
It's fucking the best. Like, why is not, like, this is not, like, people are like, Shamrock Shake. Fuck Shamrock Shake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two fingers, Shamrock Shake.
Cecil says, the cereal bits are like Fruity Pebbles texture-wise.
Yeah, they're fucking delicious.
Yeah, it's all crushed shit. It's good. It's really good.
My friend made me laugh today. And one went up my nose, and I fucking loved it.
You start snorting the rest.
It was a fucking terrific experience. And they, you know what? It only comes in one size. You can't get a small, medium, large, just one size. Because if you had too much of this at a time, you would do crazy shit, like get divorced. You'd be like, oh, I can't come home. I got a business meeting. And you'd be like, with a like giant like popcorn box size of like Fruity Pebbles shake in the fucking motel by yourself shaking. Like, it is the most I left work today to get another one.
Like, you did that last week.
I have one. So now I'm 4 to 6 Fruity Pebbles shakes deep. I mean, Fruit Loop shakes. I'm telling you, people, I would not look at me. Look at me.
Look at him.
I'm looking.
I know when things are delicious. There is, like, if you see a skinny person, if Michael Ravenshaw tells you that something's delicious, you'd be suspect of that.
Yeah, that's some good shit, dude.
Yeah, no, he doesn't know food.
The thing is, Mars, I can't have one.
Why?
Because
Why?
I don't want one. It's got milk. I don't drink it.
That's not real milk. Come on.
The only thing, soy milk.
The Fruit Loops are more considered more real food than
if you want a vegan meal. Go to McDonald's. There's no fucking real animal in that food at all.
Meanwhile,
there is a portion.
Meanwhile, this guy had a pizza.
Yeah.
How does that fucking work?
To fucking give to the people.
That's I'm not talking to you.
I'm telling you, though. Right, Johnny? I got you. I'm going to answer for Johnny.
No, Johnny, don't. I want to hear his answer.
I actually want to hear his answer.
You know, I want to hear it, too, but I want to hear your answer because you
well, seem to... Well, I have a feeling we're going to talk about...
You do a good Sean Spicer. You worm your way out of the question.
No, he can eat whatever he wants. Yeah. What are you?
No, he can. Of course he can. I'm not saying that.
But don't say that.
Oh, I can't have milk because you know.
I don't drink pure milk.
Okay,
that's again.
But cheese is okay.
This is almost so not milk. It's almost milk again.
It goes full circle.
Yeah, you do not. You do not want to fucking drink this.
It's really good. You guys got to try it.
I
would recommend it.
I have a feeling we'll be talking about diets and dietary decisions. A little bit today.
It's going to be
this
a pretty
the last time.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wonder Woman, when does that come out?
June 2.
Well, you can see it tomorrow, June 1st, for advanced screenings, but it comes out on Friday.
I'm super nervous about it.
Why? It looks good.
Huh?
Why?
Because, as I was saying to my dear friends, the Haussmann, yesterday, probably before you woke up, and before I went to bed.
I catch up. I read everything.
I feel like... You can make a bunch of shitty Batman movies, and eventually somebody's going to think it's a good idea to make a Batman movie again.
Mm-hmm.
Look how long it took to get a Wonder Woman movie. Like, if you make a 75
shitty... years?
Yeah, if you make a shitty Wonder Woman movie, like, it's probably going to be a fucking little while. Like, if you make a Wonder Woman movie so bad... Because Wonder Woman's going to make money no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make a Wonder Woman movie so bad that Wonder Woman dose tanks, right... You're not going to get a fucking... You'll be lucky if you get two Wonder Woman movies out of the deal. Three if you count Affleck S. Cavill.
Well, look, there's been like, what, four different Fantastic Four films? So...
Two.
Three.
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 Yeah, but they just keep pumping them out because they want to keep the license.
Right. But it'd be like also, too, like, if I mean, how many Bat flicks have been done in Superman flicks since Batman 66 and George Reeves Superman?
Right. But that's also not you have to think, there is a lady in the Fantastic Four, but that's not something that they're anchoring on. You know, it is a risky proposition, and, you know, I'm not ashamed to, or I'm not ignorant enough to say, and today's basically marginally... passively misogynistic culture, it's probably, you know, a risky proposition to put out a Wonder Woman movie.
It's a very important film, Dynamo.
Now, I think it's about time a Wonder Woman film came out.
No, well, I think...
It is important.
Listen, a movie like Wonder Woman...
Card again?
No. Listen, a movie like Wonder Woman or those Ghostbuster movies, while probably artistically flaccid, are important in a way because, you know, we grew up... You can count on one hand the amount of female action heroes that we had growing up that, like, my sisters could represent themselves as, could see. You know, you had Wonder Woman in the Super Friends, sure, right? And you had the team ensembles, but then you had She-Ra, mm-hmm. and you had, I guess, Jem, you know? So, you know.
Well, there was also Isis.
Whoa. We don't talk about
that.
They
said they didn't do it.
It's kind of funny that the evil terrorist organization named themselves after, like, a female Greek goddess. Do you think they know?
I don't know.
I think they have access to the internet.
I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know if they watch a lot of Captain Marvel.
Right. But, you know, but do you understand what I'm saying, though? Like,
I want to see what happens in the new Wonder Woman.
75 years.
Why is he called Shazam?
My niece... little Tiny White's daughter, right, is at the perfect age to see this Wonder Woman movie, right? If Warner Brothers doesn't fuck it up and make it like a hard PG-13 anyway. Is at the perfect age to see this Wonder Woman movie and, like, have a hero. Have a hero that she can see herself in.
Yeah.
You know? And that makes it important politically, if not important cinematically. Like, I don't think you know, at my 90th birthday, I'm going to be at the Academy Awards inducting Wonder Woman as one of the, you know, quintessential linchpins of 2010 films.
It's getting crazy reviews. It's getting positive stuff.
Yeah, but so did fucking Batman S Superman before it came out.
I didn't see those.
Yeah.
So no, it did. This one seems to be getting better reviews, but yeah, the Batman v Superman definitely got some pretty good reviews ahead of its release. Yeah.
Right. By Zack Snyder.
So
mom.
Yeah. But I think that's, you know, that it's important for them to not fuck this up, I think. And maybe I'm overstating it, maybe whatever else, but I feel like as somebody with, you know, young nieces and nephews, but, you know, specifically nieces that have gone, I mean, if we had one female friend when we were young, and if we weren't playing A-Team, right, she had to be like a boy character. In A-Team, she got to be the girl that was in it peripherally, Amy the reporter or whatever.
Or, or G.I. Joe, she could have been Scout or Lady J.
Sure, there was like...
Fucking Ripley and Sarah Connor.
There you go.
Yeah, but those weren't kids' movies. Like we
in the 80s, they were. I watched Scarface on my fucking sixth birthday.
Yeah, but your bad parenting is not equivocal to...
No, I did bad parenting. Yeah. My parents are very good.
Like, my nieces and nephews are not going to probably watch Alien until they're in junior high.
What age is that?
Oh.
Like 12, like 11 or 12.
Yeah, he's still waiting to get there himself.
You know, so it's just not going to happen. But, you know, and G.I. Joe was a great representation, but, you know, because of it was toy-based, there was literally one female character every other line. No. So, I mean, they were just on the show because it was important to have some sort of female representation. But I don't think that anybody can deny that the ratio is terribly skewed. If kids today are playing Avengers, like before the second one came out, like they better not have any more than one lady friend because there was no one for them to be.
You know, in the films, in the cartoons.
Right. Well, in the cartoons, it's still like they've gone three iterations of Avengers cartoons and still Black Widow is the only female on the team.
Didn't it bring a Wasp in?
Mm-mm. They brought in Falcon. He was the newbie, you know. But like, it does suck. I mean, it is tough. So I feel Warner Brothers personally has a certain degree of responsibility to represent and make this movie as don't just put this movie out because it's going to make money. You know, make this movie as good as it possibly can be. Because while I don't think that Ghostbusters movie is great, I don't feel like they. I feel like there was a little bit of care put into it.
Well, I think the idea of them hiring, you know, casting Gal Gadot to play the part, at first I was kind of, you know, apprehensive towards it because, I mean, here you got somebody who's really not an actress per se. She's a model.
She's been in movies.
Yeah. Batman v Superman.
No.
She's movies before that.
Yeah, she's in a few films.
Well, she's a former Israeli soldier.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's just it. I appreciate the fact that they got somebody to play the part who can carry the physical characteristics of what a Wonder Woman,
what
we think Wonder Woman should be doing.
Right.
You know, and it isn't just a pretty face.
Right.
You know, it's the whole package. You know, the athleticism, and I think at first, like I said before, I wasn't too sure about it because they didn't really cast an actress.
Right.
I felt anyway.
Well, she was. But, I think she was in all the Fast and Furious movies, or at least.
Oh, those don't count.
But I mean,
it's a movie.
I mean, you have a really good point because though she somehow has ended up a contemporary action hero, like, you know, the reality is that Scarlett Johansson's actionness, and keep in mind, she's one half of my gauze. Johansson threesome fantasy, but like is not her action chops are prestidigitation. You know, she maybe learned some tumbling or whatever else, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like it's a Zoe Bell or someone like that that's doing,
or Gina Carano
doing the stunts for her. You know, so you know the fact that you know. I can never say her name properly. Gadot, is that how you say it?
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Is it Gadot?
Though she could get in a fight, right? She could hold her own. I think that's important. That intrigues me from a cinematic point of view because I didn't know that till recently.
Well, one of the big things, and I guess we don't have to go too deep into this, but when she was first announced, there was a lot of, you know, flack because she's very thin, right? Like, not that you know, like everyone does their own version of Wonder Woman. Every artist that draws her has their own thing that they do. You know, like, she mostly looks the same, but maybe they'll add a little flourish here.
More voluptuous, usually. She's more in depth.
Well, and I wasn't even talking about that. Yeah. I'm just talking about, like, every artist has their own interpretation, you know? So I guess that goes for the person who's making the film as well. Like, it's their decision to pick the person to play Wonder Woman. And I think at first, Gal was, you know, people were thinking that she was too skinny. She's a model. Like, you know, they need someone who's like an Amazon, you know? And to be honest, like, I was a little skeptical as well, because I didn't know anything about her, you know? And this is a very iconic character. And when I saw Batman v Superman in the theater, I thought she was the best part.
A mile.
And it was just fucking, she owned it. Like, so you got to give them props for doing their due diligence. And you kind of need someone who's going to be able to carry not just that role, but the weight of that role. Mm. You know, someone who is going to do the appearances and be a role model to women and boys too, hopefully, you know? So it's, you know, it's certainly no easy task to put the burden on her shoulders, but so far from what I've seen, she's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah. And also, to go back real quick, to put things in perspective, like, I, you know, my partner, with all due respect, was kind of scoffing at me and mentioned Sarah Connor and...
Oh, that's a scoffing.
Sarah Connor and Ripley.
Yeah.
Name three more.
Hunger Games.
No, from then.
Katniss.
Right, yeah, exactly. There aren't three more.
You're talking about in the 80s, right?
Yeah, and Sarah Connor, like,
in film.
In Terminator 2, Sarah Connor, like, you know, James Cameron got a shtick by then.
Right.
But
they're,
you know,
few and far between.
She was kind of a cliche final girl in the first.
Oh, yeah, in the first one, absolutely. Terminator. But the fucking shotgun thing.
Sure. Like, I think that had more to do with Cameron's fetishism and his visual flourishes, and it had to do with him wanting to, you know.
I mean, if you want to talk, there's other heroes back then. I mean, maybe not geared towards kids, but I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the woman power of Pam Grier, Cynthia Rothrock, those you can't deny.
Nope.
You know?
Well, no, you can't. But I think the thing is that it wasn't mainstream. True. At least that's what I thought. Dynamo.
I think the Pam Grier films are a bit more mainstream.
Here's
than
the thing,
the
though.
Rothrock.
You're not going to see an 8-year-old girl.
But
looking
you, but
up
you
to,
guys, but you guys, this thing of shooting yourself. You're naming that fucking thing. You named the woman in American low budget action. Like, it wasn't like there was it wasn't like there was 22 Pam Griers and 22 Cynthia Rothrocks, but there was like. There was like 900 Bruce Lee copies.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like
Bruce
like,
Lee.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Bruce Lee. You know what I mean? There weren't 900 copies. You know, you know what I mean? Like there was like, you know, Rathrock.
You mean Kofifi.
Yeah. Kofifi.
Kofifi Kingston.
Kofifi Kingston.
Right. No, I think it's not about, no, I wasn't intentionally doing the important thing, but that was for Johnny. And once again, I don't expect girls, you know, well, I'm not going to judge, but having read even comics, were they mainstream? No, but I think Donna Troy, Starfire, Raven, Storm.
Right, they
the
existed, but how many fucking X-Men were there?
They weren't in the
spotlight. Yeah, how many X-Men were there? So you had Wolverine. You usually had two, like the X-Men was like indulgent in the fact there was always at least 2 to 3 female characters.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, and I think that's a big reason why the X-Men are so fucking popular. Because they cast a wider net of both ethnicity and sex to, you know, more people. You know, but look at the fucking Avengers. You had Wasp, and then you had Captain Marvel at one time, and there was a little bit of overlap with Wasp and Captain Marvel. But that was a fucking sausage fest.
In the books, Warbird,
two
She-Hulk,
ladies,
She-Hulk,
but not at the same. Not all these people at the same fucking
Crystal.
Time. Well, I don't
know. She-Hulk, I don't count She-Hulk.
What I'm saying is you're shooting yourself. I don't even want to know why you don't count She-Hulk.
I'm not shooting myself.
The reason why I don't count,
you are because
an argument.
I know, but there's eight. But what I'm saying is if there's eight people in a team and one of them is a lady, then you're not really representing, like,
what are you going to do? We read the Avengers Girl book.
Yeah, but I'm, well, like I was saying,
I know more about fucking girl chicks than fucking
Girl chicks?
Did you say
math.
Girl chicks?
Girl chicks.
Girl chicks. Girl chicks. Super female. Girl.
What the? Female. Yeah, but the point he's making is there's no fucking stars.
What's
Do
the
you
longest?
Get it?
What's the longest female? Like the of our youth,
yeah.
What is the longest female anchored comic that existed?
Female anchored?
There was a lot of She-Hulk comics, but it got canceled for a lot and was gone for 2 or 3 years, and then would come back when, like, you know, Captain Marvel didn't make it out. Captain Marvel and Spider Woman, those books didn't make it out of like 83, 84. Like, they didn't happen. They didn't exist. Wonder Woman in over at DC, she didn't have her own book for fucking ever.
No, aside from that one gap, she was the only time she was ever non-published. She's part of the three that were continually published since the 50s.
Well, she was in My Greatest Adventures or whatever it's called, but I don't think it was a Wonder Woman book, right?
No,
I have to look that up.
Unless something's changed, aside from after Crisis, when the regular books and before the George Perez stuff came on... the only three that were continually published was Cap, Bat, and Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
That's interesting.
But listen, all DC, all signs point to this flick being the one that's keeping the lights on.
Well,
this is the one that people.
The funny thing is, they didn't anticipate that.
No,
but it's just the way things shook out.
They already made. I mean, they Justice League is going to come out no matter what because they've.
Well, it's they're almost fucking made. Done. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I never got your opinion because, you know, it was kind of a shitty reason as to why, but what do you think about Joss Whedon doing the reshoots and heading up the remainder of the Justice League movie?
That's, I mean, from a business point of view, not just me being a fan, if the guy who made, if you can get the guy who made the other most successful one,
right,
get that fucking guy. You know,
he did the second Avengers too, right?
Right. Yeah. Which I don't. I mean, you know, wasn't anywhere near as great, but was still fun. But like, I mean, I think he's doing it as a favor, to be honest, because.
Well, he was going to do was it Batgirl? Is that the one he got signed on, or Batwoman?
There's a rumor for Batgirl.
Yeah. So it was a rumor for Batgirl that he was writing the script for it or something, and he was going to direct it. So
I wish that was a show, to be honest. Of all the shows that are going around right now, I wish Josh Whedon doing a Batgirl or a Birds of Prey show. But
I prefer Birds of Prey. But.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I think it's great. It sucks. I stayed off the internet for a few days. Only one of our podcast peers made the joke that pissed me off, and I wrote a reply to him and then a personal message to him and deleted them both and said that, you know what, you can't steer a train when somebody's trying to be obnoxious, when somebody's trying to be outrageous for outrageous sake. You know what I mean? Like, maybe hopefully someday they will hit hit some maturity that makes them realize that, you know, that's not what you.
Yeah, it's a shitty situation, and I know a lot, you know, people aren't crazy about Zack Snyder and his direction, especially with the DC films, and, you know, people just find any opportunity to, you know, to kick the guy when he's down, and that's not the way to do it.
Which is pretty outrageous too, because I mean, maybe it's just me, but I liked everything he did, right up to the fact that. You know, and I don't want to get into this too much, obviously, but his style, right, his kind of worldview eliminates the only thing that makes me care about Superman. Like, I'm not a Superman fan, you know, so the kind of big blue boy scout is the only thing that I'm kind of interested in.
Sure, and you don't like his take on it.
Right, I don't even know. I don't even know if I fucking finished it. I know that...
Well, you saw Batman versus Superman.
Right. And I mean, I don't know. I don't think there was enough Superman going on to really, you know, I couldn't really get the temperature of it, but he seemed to fit in with the world. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that, I think his Justice League was Watchmen. Like, I think Watchmen fit in with his worldview, you know? But I love 300. I'm sorry.
Me too.
I really like Sucker Punch. I throw in Sucker Punch quite a bit. I don't, like, watch it all the way through, but, like, I like it. Like, sometimes, like, not everything has to be... fucking Miller's Crossing for me. Not everything has to be Seven Samurai and be, you know, check all the boxes of what equals entertainment. Sometimes a beautiful woman with a katana and a machine gun fighting a fucking giant robot is enough for me. Like, for you know, for an hour at a time, not, you know, not all day, not every day, but, you know, for that thing. And that's what he gave me. That's what was in the trailer. I showed up. That's what I fucking got, you know, and I like Watchmen, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, I don't have a problem with him, you know. I just don't think that he's the one to, I would have been excited if I found out he was doing a Batman movie. But, you know, I think it's really fucking cool that the industry end of things, whether they're doing it to make money, you know what I mean, or, and the actual fanboys and girls, and, you know, the other side of the aisle from me is really coming out in the hype to make this movie financially successful, because that's kind of, no matter how good it is, if nobody goes and sees it, it doesn't matter. You know, so all we can hope is that Wonder Woman, Warner Brothers, made Wonder Woman, you know, it good. You know, mm-hmm. made it good enough to do justice to the people who are lining up to see it. But, you know, it's a very slippery slope. I mean, she's the only lady in the Justice League right now, you know, like. So, you know, one thing that DC has done that Marvel dropped the ball on, like, a Hulk movie would be very expensive, so I understand why we haven't got one of those. But you could make a fucking Hawkeye and Black Widow or Black Widow movie mm-hmm. on the fucking cheap.
They've already made one. Fucking Lucy, Ghost in the Shell, just fucking make a Black Widow movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, that's a big leap of faith, because I feel like, despite how iconic Wonder Woman is, and she's the one outlier in the kind of boys club that is comic books, it's a risky proposition for this to get made and throw that much money at it, and it doesn't look like they did it on the cheap.
Well, we'll find out soon. I'm going to go see it on Friday afternoon. I'm looking forward to it. So we have a bunch of people hanging out in the chat room. We have some people we haven't seen in a while. We have, let's see, I think I already mentioned some people, but we got Bosch, we got Cecil, we got Corny, we got Lost Atlantis, wow. We got Creepy Girl.
Hey, nice. Babe.
We got Mark Sheetsy.
Hey, Sheetsy.
And then we have Jethro Nomicon.
Whoa. Blast from the past.
Nothing's ever easy.
No, nothing is ever easy. So we got Jethro Nomicon hanging out for the first time in a while. It's good to see you, buddy.
All right. For those who missed it, it's official. The Deadites Teal, October 13th at the Lucky Dog Music Hall.
The Cove Music Hall.
Yeah, before Ted gets mad at me, I was calling Ralph's the Lucky Dog, apparently, last time we played there. So just habit.
So, yeah, Dynamo had mentioned in the intro some fucking fantastic news, especially for the people who are going to be coming to Rock and Shock. I'm doing your job now, aren't right. I, Raven Shadow?
You're okay. You're doing good.
The pimp of promotion.
The new prince of promotion.
But we are, it is going to be the Deadites co-headlining with Teal on Friday the fucking 13th, October 13th, the night. We're going to kick off the weekend. It's going to be a fucking fantastic time.
We're all going to be there.
It's going to be awesome. We'll all be there. There's, you know, there'll be more details, but there is a, there will be, I believe there will be a live Trick or Treat Radio at some point. There's going to be
working out all the details there.
There'll be a slobber knocking on that view.
Another event that I think will be Saturday night, which I'm ironing out the details of the location, but I'm talking to a couple of people. There's going to be a midnight ice cream social.
One night?
Probably Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a good weekend. If you're coming, we've heard you're coming, and we have took that as more. We're not gonna rely on the great institution that is Rock and Shock to just be there. That's to entertain you that weekend.
Yeah, we want to do a whole weekend of events, and hopefully, you know, everyone that goes there will hopefully attend most, if not all, of the events. We can all hang out. It'll be a fucking great time. So. There will be some additional information coming, but just want to let you guys know, things are in the works. Mars was working hard. We booked Teal, which is fucking amazing. I'm so happy to get to hang out with Jim again from Teal. And he's going to be there, and we have a bunch of other stuff going on.
And let me give credit where credit is due to Ted at the Cove. No offense, and you know, I don't want to kick anybody when they're not listening, but there's a reason that you know, a financial reason and a political reason that Teal didn't come back, Ted at the Cove is committed to the quality of the ship. Not worried about the, you know, like he is like us. He has a very if you build it, they will come mentality, and not so worried about, well, I know this band's going to give so much money. You know, I know this, you know. So, you know, don't, you know, if you're far near in coming or coming from far or near, wherever, you know, come out, because he is, you know, that is a, to bring a great band like Teal around is a financial risk. You know, to put two bands that could headline that place on the same night because you guys are going to be there for a weekend is a big risk.
It's main event.
Yeah.
It is a double main event.
You know, it's like if you got the Ultimate Warrior on your bill, you're going to fill up the building. Right? So bringing in Hulk Hogan is just a courtesy to the fans. You know, like just something special, cool for them. You know, this is our WrestleMania. We were making it our WrestleMania weekend. And believe you me, you know, like we haven't even talked about the fact that somebody that's not a band is probably returning. You know, some other cool stuff that'll probably go on that weekend. Fucking Rockin' Shock, which, you know, is at its worst a super fucking fun time. You know, like, so who knows what's gonna go on, you know. And I think we're trying to plan something just for the Trick or Treat Radio Deadites fans. Get to the club a little early. You might see something that the rest of the people that isn't part of that ticket. So I'm busting my ass, you know.
We have an announcement of someone coming to Rockin' Shock.
Who?
Sheetsy.
Yeah,
Jesus right. Says I'm coming to Rockin' Shock.
All that means, though, that's only, you know, Sheetsy and El Goro comes, that means I have to play New Murders in the Rue Lounge and Execution as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
this will be the greatest Deadite show of all time.
I think we're almost caught up to WrestleMania. What do they have? 33. Yeah.
I was supposed to get cut open
Deadites
yesterday.
Been doing it?
Or today? I was supposed to get cut open today.
Oh shit!
Yeah. It's Deadites Mania.
Yeah. Raven Chow's got a knife. He wants to do it.
I forgot to go to my surgery.
You're fucking late, dude.
I forgot to go. No, I moved it up because of the stuff that's happening at home. It wasn't like something that I did all willy-nilly or took a risk at all. There was a lot of conversation, a lot of tests done. But, yeah, so I moved it up. But, you know, the powers that be have assured me that I will be roaring ready and rock steady in time for...
roaring ready and rock steady.
In time for...
is Chow Daddy going to be there? He might make an appearance. You never know.
Which, this is going to be like it was before. You're going to have one costume for 22 years.
No, actually, I already got
and
a costume
and then he's going to combine them. I'm going to wear a prison suit and an afro.
No, I already got...
His dress is Kofifi.
There's going to be a lot of Kofifi cups at Halloween. And I want to get way out ahead of it. Costume fans, cosplayers, I know it's early in the year, but we're going to have some fucking awesome judges there to judge this.
Yeah.
Hopefully my still beloved but former co-host will be one of them, and it's going to be a rock and roll good time, so. Yeah, Monster Zero actually posted something that was funny. I was really yeah.
Surprised. It doesn't happen very often these days. All right, so let's talk about what's going on tonight, because I don't think we've mentioned it. But tonight we are going to review the film Raw. So we're going to talk about that, and then we get some voicemails. Raven Shadow, did you bring some facts?
Yeah, I bet so many facts.
I'm not talking about your friend.
Office facts.
Yeah, yeah.
So many office. Yeah, I guess just keep doing it.
Get them ready. I'll introduce right, everyone,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, who's next, Johnny?
You just had your hand on Monster Zero in a very sexual manner.
Wait, specify who that was.
Now my shoulder's hard.
Because I got that feeling. He needs sexual healing. He needs a sexual dietitian. Man, I don't know that your body elasticity-wise is going to last another brat.
Yeah, so I need a healthy dose of poontang.
Oh, my God. Are you fucking serious?
Well, any goodwill we got from that Wonder Woman talking exactly. Right out the fucking window.
Great, thanks.
Well, that wasn't what The Rock said. The Rock did say that.
The Rock said.
Pie.
The Rock said.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, well, tonight we are going to talk about Raw. We are going to play some voicemails, and that's, I don't know, whatever. Some other shit's going to happen, too. Probably an argument, maybe.
We already are getting there.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And, all right, let me go ahead and introduce everyone. I am Johnny Wolfenstein, the pencil pusher and producer of media for Trick or Treat Radio, the Deadites, and the Grand Guignol Network. We also have the Immortal Gunslinger, singer and lyricist for the Deadites, Dynamo Mars.
As some of you may or may not know, Monster Zero is moving soon. He has, and we'll let him explain it in his intro, but he has apparently sold all of his furniture a month before he moved out, so that should be good. But I do have a housewarming present for your new home.
Oh.
So,
thank you.
I was going to wait until you moved, but I kept almost fucking kicking it and losing it and spilling it, so I didn't want that to happen.
Oh, this, so, this must be good then.
Can you close your eyes?
Oh, God, it's not another bag of hair, is it?
Close your eyes.
Okay, they close.
Oh, he kissed him! What the fuck? He kissed his cheek!
That's a... By God!
Oh, my God!
Oh!
Oh, that's a nice thing!
What the fuck?
Look at that. Grimlock.
Oh, Grimcock.
Me, Grimcock. Me, Grimlock.
Did you say thank you yet?
Yes. No, I haven't. I'm not going to.
For the kiss?
Yes, thank you for the kiss, but not for Grimlock.
Oh, there it is. Grimcock.
Thank you, man.
I know that that's not like a fancy one like you get, but...
No, that's from the recent Robots in Disguise line.
Robots in Disguise. Is there an app that goes with it?
Yeah, you...
So you download on the App Store in the back.
Yeah, you download the app, and then you scan the mark that's on his chest. If you turn it around...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'll
okay.
see like a red
yep.
circular... You download that, and you can make him a playable character in the app.
Oh, well, download this.
And what, do you have the app?
I do not.
Well, now you can. You can play him.
I know. Now I can.
Oh, me, Grimcock.
So have you watched that show at all?
I watched the first season of it. It's okay. It's not as good as Prime. Prime, as far as recent Transformers lines go, Transformers Prime... series is really, really good.
We should start a business. I got an idea. We should get in touch with Hasbro, right? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We should start a thing, right, called Optimus Prime. For $89 at the beginning of the year, you can watch Transformers all year round, and then you can have all your Transformers stuff shipped to you for free because you signed up for Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. All right. We also have the vulgar guru of horror, star of Blood Pigs and Fetus, one-time contributor for Horror Hound magazine, Monster Zero.
And now an owner of a Grimlock Robots in Disguise.
We need to add Taste Terrible to that.
And we also have the chain-smoking, hand-kissing, baby-shaking, lorazepam-loving, comic book reading nerd, the official smoke chamber, smoke machine, whatever you want, for Castle Wolfenstein, and the pimp of promotions, Michael Ravenshadow.
He's got one in the smoke chamber.
That's right. That's right, Johnny. And
the gimp of promotions.
No, it's what Johnny said. It's what Johnny said. And I recently appeared. I had an appearance.
No, sir.
I did. I had an appearance suddenly. I'm on the newest episode of Cabal Corner. I get to hang out with Evil Corny and J-Mac, Jeremy McFarlane. Unfortunately, I had to step in for Slagoth, who was otherwise indisposed. But yeah, we had an interesting discussion on some topics. It was a surprise. So if you liked the 250th episode of Trick or Treat Radio, you might like this one. But no, it was very nice. We corny. We bonded. We got some schemes going on.
Great.
Is he gonna give you shit for not watching the movies?
No, the corny likes me.
Yeah, meaning.
Okay.
Meaning that we're... Listen, good segue, Monster
Zero. Watching the movie is not that difficult.
It fucking is. We're going to fucking get into it.
It's not that hard.
It fucking is. It fucking is. We
look,
are going to
watching
get into
a movie
it.
Is very, very easy. Easy peasy Georgian wheezy, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, you got another gift. Why don't you tell everybody about your other gift?
My other gift?
You got it from your special, from Girlfriend
Oh, Zero. Yes. Well, I was so enamored with this. Yes, my special lady friend got me my early birthday present of the Golden Girls unofficial book. It's called...
biography?
Yeah. If you would call that a biography. The Secrets from Behind the Lanai. And
Slash Fiction?
No. And I've leafed through it. It's a great book. Small text, so, and it's a good sized book, you know, great pictures in it.
What is it?
A Golden Girls book.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Secrets from Behind the Lanai.
Like a prequel?
No, it's a book.
It's an origin story.
Yeah. It's a book.
But is it
a history on the Golden Girls.
Is it gonna be about all the men Betty White slayed?
It should.
Lost Atlantis says, I'll be over ASAP. You can read me a bedtime story. Okay, MZ?
No sweat. You got it.
Well, there's one.
She can't sleep on the couch. Couch, that's right. For sure.
Yeah, yeah. I can stay over
since
on
you
the,
fucking oh. sold it.
Yeah. Look, there's a flaw.
There's one problem with your plan, other than the couch, Wiley. It's the reading part.
I can read.
Uh-huh.
Robots in Disguise. Look at that.
Read the back.
That's Discussy.
Coffee.
Rave Chatter. Corny says that you and him talk comics on most Sundays.
Yeah, we do. We've been vibing, man. It's been pretty excellent.
Been vibing?
Yeah, morning ritual.
You turn the fan on, smoke a butt, light a candle.
Yeah, it's nice. It's how I wake
call
up
it Corny.
And I just think about what I'm going to do that day, and then I chat with Corny, smoke a butt, have a breakfast beer, and it's nice.
Smoke a butt.
Oh, Jethro Nomicon says Blanche makes me hot and bothered.
Hell yeah. That's some southern comfort right there.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, as a youth, let a couple go about
let
Blanche.
Let a couple go.
Killed some dead
well,
white
is that
males.
The air sharky?
Or you going off like fireworks, you know?
Yeah.
And I've had a thing, for Dorothy forever. She was part of my Maud Nage a Trois,
yes.
Back in Maud. Her and
Foxy B. Arthur.
Her and Adrian Ballou, guitar player of King Crimson. Adrian Babo. I'm not drunk, folks. I'm just happy and cold. I'm very, very cold.
You're cold?
Yeah.
Why don't we turn the AC off?
I didn't know it was an option. No. I thought you did it on purpose to ruin Ray Rochelle's pizza.
Hey! You just got here. You said you were here for a long time.
Yeah, shut that shit off, man. I don't think we need it.
It's going to get hot in here, man.
Well, if it gets hot in here...
Not for nothing, we'll put it back on, right?
Yeah, we could always open the door.
I am literally holding my ding-dong, though, to not pee.
What?
Because it's
so
cold.
Just go fucking pee.
Ding-dong, ding-dong, yo.
I don't want to miss any excitement.
Here's a can for you.
I don't know that I can make that work. So today, I can't believe I'm going to tell this story, right? Today, right? I might do that. Today, the company I work for has a mascot, and the girls that work as cashiers at that company always come over to my office, and they're always asking me to like, oh, be the mascot. So today I was the mascot.
Oh God!
And I came this close to almost shitting the mascot costume. This like real close, and because I was trying not to shit, I almost peed it too. It was fucking tough.
Why'd you get fully nude, or did you wear clothes underneath it?
No, I mean I would have shit my clothes, but I would have still.
It must be hot in that goddamn thing.
It's tough. It would honestly would have made Dutch oven a new like level. I think I would have died if I shit in there. But like yeah, it was almost bad. But yeah, I was dressed as a giant character today and almost shit in it. So.
Come visit, kids. Vacation's coming. Yeah. Summertime blues.
It's not a kid's place. It's an adult establishment.
Oh.
Now you're going to get all the fetishists out there.
Were you fucking pointy pig?
He's going to be at the next JLA convention.
I'm going to go.
God damn it. God damn it. That underwear had shit on it.
I still feel bad if anybody bought those Old Navy pins.
You don't feel that
I
bad.
I seriously doubt anybody bought them.
Well, now it's a fad where you can wear pants that have like mud stains and shit stains.
I know.
And piss stains.
Yeah.
I think Dynamo started it.
Me and Kelly are like a fucking trendsetters.
Yeah, you should be getting a cut out of this, man.
make you, you know, state your case in court and make a few quarters off of this.
I am one of the original shitty pants.
Like you are, yeah.
I shit pants before it was cool, man.
It's true.
Shit in your pants is cool than your Miles Davis. Right.
Shit in your pants is sexy. I'm Gene Simmons.
Wow. Is he like universally hailed as sexy?
He's no. He's
no.
It's weird. He looks like Gonzo with like old lady Samoan hair, but he definitely has made some sweet, sweet love to some ladies. Shannon Tweed. He's married to Shannon Tweed.
I don't think they're married.
Yeah,
no, they're married.
I thought they were just...
No, they were living together for like 70 years, and then they finally got married.
70 years.
Then they finally got married like 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
You know what, with his like reputation that, like, I don't know. I think it's because he can be on the other end and still like put his tongue on the top of her mouth.
Pretty much.
Man, it's really frightening.
Jethro says, I love a sexy mascot sex story. Dear Penthouse Forum.
Dear Penthouse Forum, that's when I felt it running down my leg.
And Corny says, the big angry mascot shits at midday. All right, well, I think we got to wrap this intro up so we can talk about the flick. But before we do, if you guys want to support the show, you can do so a number of ways. Go to trickortreatradio.com. On the side there, you're going to see a bunch of links. We have our friends over at Horror Pack. And if you guys want to get 4 DVDs or Blu-rays sent directly to your door, go ahead and... What are you doing?
Peeing.
Oh, okay. Well, she's making a ruckus.
What, now?
I don't want to make a ruckus. And go ahead and click on the link for Horror Pack, and you can sign up. We also have the Amazon link. If you guys... What's going on over there? He's showing his ass again. If you guys shop on Amazon, use our link, and we get a little cut. So it doesn't cost them any extra, Raven Shadow.
But it helps keep the lights on.
That's right. So you guys shop on Amazon anyways. Just use our fucking link. And then also our friends over at XSplit.
XSplit!
They provide the live streaming service you see here on Wednesday nights on the live show. We want to thank them. They have some great software. So if you are into streaming, you want to do a Let's Play or Watch Us Die, anything like that, go check out XSplit. They got some good stuff. And also, if you guys have not yet, you can pick up the Doe for Dynamo compilation. I believe there's a website now. Let me go ahead and just double check.
Oh, shit.
And while that loads up, yes, doeforDynamo.com.
Wow.
So some folks, I don't know, I don't have their name here. Let me see if I can look it up. But some folks threw this together. I don't think they got paid for it, or if they did, I don't think they got paid. I think it just did out of the kindness of their heart. So there is a website up for Dough for Dynamo, so you can go to doeforDynamo.com or doeforDynamo.bandcamp.com, either one, and you can go ahead and purchase that compilation, 19 tracks, for as little as $7. And all proceeds go to Dynamo to help pay for his growing medical bills for himself and for the rest of his family. So if you guys haven't yet, grab it. You should do so. And like I said, you can give as much as you want. More than $7, that's cool. So, all right, Raven Shadow.
Yes.
You sit down to watch Raw. Ooh. What do you do to prepare for this movie?
Oh, fucking, like Kay Quick, I get rowdy.
He hasn't gone by that name in about 15 years.
Then I kind of channel, you know, D. Snyder, he's Captain Howdy, you know what I mean? I think about the Raw Attitude Era that Dynamo loves so much. And think about all the sadness in the world. You know, Chris Cornell, Powers Booth, Greg Allman, all the sadness. But you know what? There was some good news over the weekend. Know what that was?
Yeah, speaking of Raw. You were going to review Raw.
I was going to do that. You're right. But then I found out the good news. Sean Waltman, X-Pac, acquitted.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, no problem. He said
glove,
that he was,
his glove
what?
Didn't fit?
They thought he was in an airport and he had a lot of meth and pot with him. But he was very adamant that it wasn't. He's like, I'm not off the wagon. I'm good. This is a misunderstanding. And it was. Finally, he was in L.A. County, but... It broke. The fine folks at TMZ were very on the forefront.
The fine folks.
Yeah, it was acquittal. And no, it turns out it wasn't meth. It was just very high dosage yeast pills. And he had a yeast infection. Fuck, what are you going to do?
And the fucked up thing is the cops kept his pills. You can give him back. He's going to buy new yeast pills. Jeez. They kept the pot. Pot's legal in Massachusetts. In California. So it's very exciting.
Okay, what did you do to prepare for the fucking movie?
Fucking, I give customs like two words for him. Suck it. And then I strap on.
Didn't do any of that.
I did in my room.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Rick.
And we're your hosts of the Radio Violenta podcast. Join us as we drink and stumble our way through Italian occult cinema.
Follow us on Facebook.
And subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
I'm Ruby Burble.
What's up, y'all? It's me, the Yeti. Telling all the ladies that they couldn't be more fine and that we should knock those boots like Frankenstein. When I want to get my nerd on, I go to Facebook and I go to the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group. That's the place where I get to talk about all the hip new horror movies, all the cool comics.
What comics?
RPGs, video games, you name it. We're talking about shit on there. You could not be any cooler. If you were the coolest kid in school, be the first kid on your block to swing that cock over at the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group. Just go to Facebook, search for Trick or Treat Radio, ask to join, and it's like Nerd Nirvana, baby, without the shotgun blast. This is the Yeti, signing out. See you at the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group.
Follow us on Twitter. At the Deadites, thedeadites.com, and trickortreatradio.com.
Trick or Treat Radio is the greatest podcast ever invented. The spelling is very bad. I'm not sure who wrote this.
Sorry.
And the Deadites. Is that a company that procures houses? The Deadites. Oh, it's the Deadites. The Deadites are a fantastic musical act. That is what I was supposed to say. And there you go. There it is. Cheeseburger. Remember to rent the fly, because that's a good movie for making love to.
Jeff Goldblum, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we
can get you
on the show again sometime soon.
We're back on Trick or Treat Radio, and we're going to talk about the flick Raw. Now, this movie just hit VOD, but it saw some festivals in 2016. It is rated R. It is an hour, 39 minutes. It is considered a drama horror. And it is written by Julia Dick, written and directed by Julia DeCorneau. I believe I'm saying that right, maybe. And it stars Garance Marillier. I'm really terrible with French, by the way. Oui. Ella Rumpf, Rabba Ufella, Laurent Lucas, Joanna Preece, and Bully Lanners. So this flick here, the synopsis we have, when a young vegetarian undergoes a carnivorous hazing ritual at vet school, an unbidden taste for meat begins to grow in her. Now, the one thing I'm curious about here, there's certainly kind of like some other films we've reviewed, like comes to mind, Contracted, where somebody kind of becomes something else a little bit. I've seen a lot of people talk about it. Is that a spoiler to talk about it in terms of this movie?
I don't think so, because I mean, it's discussed right in the in the small paragraph here that tells
it's in the it's but right in the like it's iTunes kind of on, description.
It's kind of on the poster too.
Yeah, there's really I mean, not to mention the title. I mean, it kind of gives.
Well, that's ambiguous enough, I think.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It can mean a bunch of different things.
It could be like how I hump you once there without a condom.
Ooh, raw, baby, I hump raw. You raw. Ooh, baby, I hump you raw.
Want to take you raw, dog?
Shimmy, shimmy, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you're looking at the title and you're looking at the tagline. What are you hungry for? You know,
that could be anything.
Yeah, it could.
Kale.
Fuck kale.
Oh, Julie Meow Meows is hanging out again.
Hey.
And she says, meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
All right. So I guess I just wanted to kind of discuss that before, you know, we dove into it, because I want to, once again, this is a film that I want to tiptoe around some of it, but I do want to talk. There's a lot of, you know, kind of, I guess, meat of the movie that I want to discuss. So I wanted to kind of set the boundaries. So I guess we can talk about that. Our main character here is Justine, and Justine is. Are you eating in the mic, Dino? It's really,
not eating.
Eating
raw? My mouth is empty.
Okay. All right.
Not me.
Belly is
who's smacking their lips?
Man, my mouth was closed, too.
All right. So with this film, we have Justine, who is going to vet school, which is the fucking craziest vet school I've ever heard of.
Right? They don't do this shit at Tufts, I'll tell you that.
How do you know?
Oh, I just call it a guess.
So she and her sister is also there as well. And so she goes to vet school, and in the opening scene, they kind of show that Justine is clearly vegetarian. Her and her family are vegetarian. They go to what, I don't know, look like
Boston Market,
look like IKEA or something.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she got like mashed potatoes, and then it turns out that there was like a meatball on her mashed potatoes. Yeah. And she was eating it, and you know, you could see she was kind of like a little disgusted by it and then spit it out, and her mom was more disgusted by it.
Mortified.
Right? Yeah, and she was kind of like, no, it's fine, it's fine, don't worry about it, you know? Like, so you could tell it was kind of a bigger deal for her mom. But yeah, so it, you know, kind of sets things up a little bit. You can see that she's vegetarian, her family's very staunch vegetarian. It seems like they have been for a while from what I gathered. And they drop her off at school right away, first night, fucking hazing ritual, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Some fucking crazy hazing shit just goes on. Yeah. I don't know how
the
school...
I don't know if it's Belgian or if it's vet, man, but
I don't know
how
the school wasn't shut down.
That shit doesn't work for me.
What?
I would have thrown those fucking dudes out a window.
Yeah.
Like, don't take my fucking bed.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, douchebags.
All that hazing shit is for the fucking birds, man. It really is.
It's for the fucking birds.
It is. It's stupid. It's fucking dumb. If you ever went through if you went to college and you went up through the hazing ritual, I feel sorry for you.
It's me, Toucan Sam. I don't want to be hazed. Have one of my delicious shakes.
Yeah,
who's been bullied as much as I have in my life knows that if you're going to get picked on, you want everybody to die.
Yeah. Old MZ.
That's
clip.
Right. Die. Die, die, die.
So we have Justine, and she, you know, in this part of this big hazing ritual where it's all, what they call them, rookies? Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
So all the, you know, all the freshmen basically. Yeah. So, and there's some weird fucking shit. So they basically dump blood on them, right? Like
right.
In their class photo.
Yep.
They have blood dumped on them. And then there's this other hazing thing where they have to eat. What was it that they ate?
Rabbit kidneys.
Yeah. Rabbit kidneys.
Yeah.
So, and she's vegetarian. She's like, no, I don't want to do that. And then her sister's like, no, you should, because they'll look at you differently, blah, 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 whatever. You know, and so she does it, and then next day she has this horrible rash. Like, first of all, she's like,
oh, is that what caused that?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes. Yes.
The nurse said, what did you eat? Like, the nurse was alluding to it.
Yeah. She got the zombie gene.
Food poisoning.
Yeah, like it was
she said it was food poisoning.
Yeah.
But here's the thing for me, especially in that scene, because I am more than convinced that that was real, that that rash was real.
What?
I'll tell you why. Because look at the way she was scratching at it, and just viciously, literally viciously scratching at it. It wasn't edited a certain way where you don't see her scratching at it. You could see it, and with, you know, you see little bumps and pustules and everything like that, and the skin is red and raw and rashy and all this other stuff. And
I watched a fucking movie with a fucking dragon in it earlier today. And you're trying to tell me that they can't fucking fabricate a rash?
This
fucking dragon talk like Sean Connery.
I'm the last one.
Calm down.
I really believe the man could fly.
No, I really no, because of the way she was attacking it, man. There was no.
So what did they do? Planned filming around rash day?
Effects of where it looked like the if it was an effect, it wasn't peeling off or anything like that. I'm almost convinced that was real.
That's one of the easiest fucking practical effects.
She had to suffer
anybody
for her
can
art.
Make,
she played
anybody
poison
can
ivy.
Paint. Shut up. Anybody can paint a rash on.
Right.
A body part. Anybody could do that.
No, baby, it's special effects. It's not a real rash.
But there was. No, but the skin was raised. You could see little bumps and pustules.
They do amazing things with makeup these days.
No.
How did they get a rash? Where did she get that fucking rash set?
It could have been from an actual food allergy or any kind of an allergy
for
that matter.
So they induced a food allergy.
She suffers for her art.
Yeah.
That's true.
MZ, for the next Brian Pollan movie, we want you to eat some peanut butter. really get in the moment.
Yeah.
If you want to suffer for your art.
Crazy asshole.
No, to his point, it was gross, right? It looked gross when she was in the bed and under the covers.
Yeah, but it's like, out of all the fucking things, like, that is so easy.
Well, I watched that scene like 3 or 4 times, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, that's what are you laughing at?
Did you watch the movie 3 or 4 times, or did you just
you
rewind?
Man bun wearing prick. What are you laughing at?
This is not a fucking man bun. You don't even know what your shit is.
I do know what my shit is.
Is the real question. Trust is that me. A real man bun?
Is it real or fake?
Well, it's real. Of course it's real.
How much bradishes
only
do you
douchebags
have to eat
would wear those things.
How much bradishes do you have to eat before you get that rash?
Like, how are they going to...
I don't know. I haven't reached that point yet.
You can't give your actors fucking food poisoning. You can't do
I'm
it.
I'm almost positive. I'm
you are a crazy asshole.
You
can't do it.
It's a thank foreign you. Film. They don't have rules.
Even his biggest fan... creepy girl says, MZ, are you being serious? LOL. He's looking it up.
I'm just reading the trivia. That's
He's checking
all.
Out on realrashes.com.
Realrashes.com.
He's reading the trivia. They induced a real rash on the star of the movie.
All right. Tell me, how did they get the raised skin to not peel off while she's scratching at it the way she was?
Dude, that's fucking latex.
Oh my god. Are you high?
No.
Are you
apparently
fucking
you are.
High?
Apparently you fucking are.
Latex can rip, asshole.
Not good latex. They have the good shit.
They have the good shit.
They get the Romanian latex.
Everyone is like, Courtney's like, MZ, come on.
Oh, shut up, cornball.
Julie Meow Meow says, okay, who has a peanut allergy? Here, rub this Skippy on you. Creepy Girl says, it's called special effects.
That fucking...
Bosch says, the funny thing is, I didn't think it looked real.
That fucking dragon today talked like Sean Connery. It wasn't really Sean Connery, I don't think. It fucking flew around. It breathed fire on some people.
You don't think. So you're not 100%.
I'm not anymore. Now that I know the fucking entertainment industry can just go all willy-nilly.
Well, that's the problem. They can't replace Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because they can't find somebody with those natural claws that he has. We know he's too tall, but he's blowing these claws.
I can't fucking believe
that healing factor.
Yeah,
like,
say Bub. We think we're in business.
I can't fucking believe that we're getting special effects fucking lessons from special needs Johnson here.
Los Atlanta says it's French latex, very special.
Oh, yes.
Latex is
it's
so,
imported.
It was gross. Latex is so adorable that Donna Matrix left her like gauntlets at her latex gauntlets at my house. Don't ask why they were there in the first place. And I pulled them over my fucking big arms, and they just stretched. They didn't.
And
even
why?
Crack.
And why did you do that?
Because I. Because I don't know.
Bosch said the other girl really had her finger cut off in the film.
Yeah.
Hashtag dedication. Hashtag shit was real.
Were those real dead dogs?
I thought they were.
I'm done. That's it for the show, ladies and gentlemen.
What's so unusual about having actual dead dogs in a veterinarian scene in a movie?
All right, Cannibal Holocaust.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
There's a thing called the Humane Society.
American Humane Society. This is Belgium. So unless Belgium has a Humane Society. Besides, those dogs could already be dead for veterinarian purposes.
They don't just kill dogs to dissect.
No, I know that. They find, you know, they have sick dogs that are going to pass on, and so they use them for medical purposes after they pass on, and that's what they did.
Old Rex always
movies
wanted to be in pictures.
Movies do that, for Christ's sake.
This movie's fucking completely off the rails, poisoning people. Probably did kill the dogs.
I didn't say this they killed the dogs
this,
for the sake
what's
of
what's this
film.
Filmmaker's name, Wolfie?
Julia.
Julia, you are reprehensible.
Julia Gulia. That's funny.
Lawson Lanta says, LOL, I can't, LOL. And see, now that's not funny anymore. Boo, MZ. Stop, STOP, stop.
All right.
Yeah, so, Creepy Girl says, did someone drug MZ? Is there Molly in the chug jugs?
can we just take through
chug jugs?
Like, were they like, all right, did she look at it and say, day three, rub poison sumac all over myself?
That was in the script.
Well, it's a zero. If you get a real fucking rash like that, you are a fucking zombie or you have leprosy. Like, that's not like a fucking real rash that you get and get better.
Cody's hanging out, and he says James Woods actually grew a vagina in his tummy for Videodrome.
you haven't seen him shirtless since then, have you? So you can't really prove it.
If you get that fucking rash,
Courtney says Sean Bean really dies in every movie he's in.
If you get that rash in real life, you don't live. That's not like a rash that like you fucking like people will film like if like you wear if you get that fucking rash, they're pulling you through the fucking Silkwood like cleaners and dumping fucking hot water on you because you've got in a nuclear reactor. That's how you get a rash like that in real life. That is not a rash that you can have and make movies. That's like a rape by aliens rash. That's like not a real rash.
If you say so.
No, everyone says so. Everyone, not just me. Somewhere fucking Donald Trump even is looking at you. He's like,
Covfefe.
He's like, get that kid another Covfefe.
Get him a nice Covfefe.
I'm actually looking at Belgium Animal Rescue League. They have so many. They have cats, horses, donkeys, mules, rabbits, Afghan hounds, pet birds.
Once zero's out of here.
No, I got to go back.
Yeah, he just wants to get out of this conversation.
No, I am not afraid of any conversation.
No, he's going to look it up downstairs. He's going to come busting back in. See, here's behind-the-scene footage where they fucking rub poison sumac all over her eyes. What? Okay, let's talk.
So, all right, so that dude left.
What the fuck?
Fucking crazy fucking asshole.
He is adamant.
That was fucking real.
That was honestly the weirdest thing I've ever experienced, and I've known him for like 20 years.
Oh, my God. That dude has seen more fucking horror movies than anyone.
And more rashes, probably, honestly.
Yeah, more rashes. And he thought that shit was fucking real. What the fuck?
Wow, it's fucking real.
I'm taking back this Transformer.
It's so real. Alright, so Bosch says that's like a syphilis rash from all those dirty mattresses touching each other. Alright, where the fuck were we before this?
I don't know. I don't know that we can recover.
So she got this rash from conceivably from eating that rabbit kidney or whatever the fuck. So it's the first time she's eaten meat maybe ever. I mean, that's what I would assume.
Now, would you get a rash like that if you hadn't, like, had something?
I mean, I don't know. I've heard of people getting sick from eating meat accidentally or just deciding to after not having it for a long time.
But is that because your body just can't, doesn't know how to process it anymore? Like, just
maybe, you know, I'm not positive.
Well, if her family is vegetarian, she would probably never eat meat.
Right. That's my thinking. And especially as things sort of advance, you know, towards the end of the movie, I think that was the case where she was vegetarian for her whole life. So trying to think, I don't want to get too deep into some of the stuff here, but
it's hard. There's a fucking scene that needs to be fucking talked about.
The finger scene?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I knew.
Because I was fucking, that's when I'm around the time I sent you that text, Johnny.
Yeah. I wanted to see what the text said.
And I was telling somebody about it. I'm like, I'm watching this fucking movie. We talked today. And I mentioned the scene that I just feel I really want to talk about what the sister thought was a good idea for the other sister. And I'm an only child, so I don't know if that's a normal thing between sisters or brothers, but
probably not brothers.
So, all right, before we get there, couple things I want to touch on is the teachers seem to be completely fine with this hazing, right? Like, she's talking to her teacher. Yeah. She's covered in blood after, like, getting blood dumped on her, and the teachers are completely fine with this? I mean, I guess I don't know what Belgium's like, but it seemed a little much.
It's bad, Johnny. It's very, very bad.
Yeah, yeah.
They fucking rub rashes and kill dogs.
And so after, you know, this is after she gets the rash, she has the kidney, and then she starts kind of sneaking in meat here and there because she kind of has a taste for it, and she likes it. You know, she's kind of embarrassed to admit it. Like, there's that one scene where she reaches for a hamburger, puts it in her fucking pocket,
you know?
So that nobody else sees it. And then the lady in the lunch line was like, what'd you put in your pocket?
In your white coat. That's obviously
oozing. Like dripping out. Yeah. So.
Any fucking tater tots. You could smuggle those.
And then she's talking to her teacher and like, she has the taste of, you know, of meat and she wants more of it. And she's kind of denying herself a little bit, but then realizes that she needs it. And then there's that scene where she's chewing her hair. Like, she's talking to her teacher, and she's chewing her hair. And then after, she goes to the bathroom and pretty much coughs up a hairball. And I thought that scene was pretty fucking crazy. Like, it was pretty gross.
I wonder what made people supposedly pass out in the theater.
I don't fucking know, because I read about that. And it wasn't...
My guess was... Well, we'll get to it, I guess. So the finger scene maybe was one of them. So, okay. So I guess let's get to the finger scene here, Raven Shadow, okay? So we have Justine and her sister... let me get her name, Alexia. And I can't remember, they had gone out, did they go out drinking or something that? And so they were a little tipsy, they came back, and she said Justine wanted to stay with her sister in her room because she wasn't feeling well or something. So then they, you know, they talk about girl stuff, and then she said, oh, have you ever gotten a Brazilian wax? The older sister, Alexia, says that, and Justine's like, no. So she's like, all right, well, I'll do one for you.
So I'm kind of invested at this point.
You're kind of invested.
Now I'm intrigued because the one looks... And listen, I know on the age, on the eve of Wonder Woman, it's maybe I shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't say this, but... well, the older sister had kind of like the Asia Argento vibe a little bit going on. I like that.
Sure, I could, you know, kind of like a bad girl, you know, kind of vibe.
And I'm like, oh, you know, is this gonna, where is this going to go? Let's watch the film. And so can I say, so they try to give her a Brazilian, and it's not like, you know, she's clothed, it's just, you know, still inappropriate closeness, but and it I've never had one, but it hurts, right? I would think. And she's pulling the wax
well off. I mean, if you're getting your hair ripped out, I'm, you know, just, you can imagine what that feels like, right?
Italians are hairy people, like it would be bad times.
So
it would hurt.
So she does it quick. She does one side, and then Justine's like, no, no more, no more. And she's like, well, let me at least get the other side to even it out, you know? Right. So she goes through the other side. She can't tear it off. Something's wrong where she can't tear it off.
Yeah, stop.
And so she goes to get scissors to you know, to pull it up and cut it off and stuff like that. And Justine just kind of, like, she sees the scissors, and I think she kind of flips out and kicks her sister. And then all of a sudden, her sister turns around, holds her hand up, and she's missing her middle finger because the, you know, when she kicked her, the scissors must have gone and cut her finger off. So missing her finger, fingers on the floor, she falls, she passes out. And then Justine, you know, quickly kind of, she was kind of like cool, calm, and collective, called the fucking hospital. They're like, oh, like, quickly put her finger on ice. It's going to be, you know, we'll get someone out there in 15 minutes or whatever. And as she went to put it in the freezer, she has no freezer because she has one of those mini fridges and it doesn't have a freezer in it. So she's kind of holding it and she's smelling the blood and she has a taste.
Yeah, and now I'm pissed off at this point.
You're pissed off?
I'm just fucking pissed off.
Why?
Now. I checked out.
Now. You don't like finger eating?
Ooh. Wait, what?
Finger eating? Where did you turn the corner?
It wasn't an uncomfortable point of view. It just was, I just thought, I'm like, this movie's fucking dumb for me. Didn't work for me. That's where it ceased to work. As Goro would say, there's opinion and there's perception, but it just, this was the point where I thought it just was dumb. I didn't like the way she licked it. I didn't like that she had a cannibal gene. I didn't like, I checked out at this point.
That's actually exactly where I jumped on.
Really?
Yeah, like I was like ready to not.
That's right. That's why I tagged you in. You were on your apron.
Yeah, tag team partner.
And I tagged you in, and I went. I ran back up the ramp.
So Bosch says, "I think we all want to see Raven Shadow get a Brazilian." Am I right?
That's fucking premium content.
Lost in Atlanta says it hurts a lot.
Yeah,
and she says it gets stuck. Oh man, in the movie.
I feel like. Can I just jump in broadly?
Yeah, go for it.
So I think that I liked this film conceptually more than I did in its execution. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like everything it tried to do, I really, really appreciated, but I don't know if its delivery... It did enough that I understood the implication of everything that it was trying to say, but I don't know that it skillfully delivered on it. Always. A few times, like the finger scene and his, like the way that played out, that was very like non-traditional the way it worked and had a lot of interesting emotional impact, especially in retrospect. And I think that it, you know, it was a really great scene. But I think there was also a lot of scenes that were sort of predictable. You know what I mean? Like the way they work was sort of predictable. Like the, like I'm thinking a love scene in particular and stuff like that.
With her and the roommate. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even like there are two things that could have happened in the, in kind of, we'll say the climax. And that was kind of predictable. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, but I mean, I don't know. Like that's, that just kind of is what it is. Like, I feel like where this film's
I'm so glad MZ thinks it's okay to just take a fucking dump while we're doing the show.
I don't care.
Like, seriously, like, go at home before or after.
Well, he didn't fall asleep.
Yeah, he might have passed out on the can, though.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
Like, here's the thing. Like, I think, and I'm having a kind of hard time articulating it, because, like, you know, I haven't fully, like, absorbed it yet, because I just watched it a couple hours ago, but I feel like the execution, I feel like all these ideas were really strong and really thoughtful. I feel like, and not from an acting and not from what she filmed point of view, more from, I think, on, I don't know, maybe on paper, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it wasn't written out enough to flesh it out, but you know, a lot of the complaints that I've heard about this movie, I enjoyed. I liked the almost outworldly view of the school. You know, how when you saw adults, they were completely fucking freaks of nature.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and all this other stuff was just going on, like,
unchecked.
Like, yeah, yeah. You know, like, it had this whole other infrastructure that went on. I mean, you didn't even generally see, except in the big, like, exam scenes and stuff like that, the you know, in the counseling, you didn't always, like, you know, necessarily see teachers every time people were working with animals and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of seemed like almost like a Lord of the Flies veterinary school, you know? I think that this, a lot of the things that I don't think that I think worked conceptually better than in delivery were things we probably won't talk about because of spoilery reasons. I would say the punchline of the film, I thought, was brilliant conceptually, but doesn't really hold water plot-wise. And that's really all I can say about it, I think. But I'm wondering if Wolfie at least knows what I mean.
I know what you're referring to.
Like, that's a fucking brilliant thing. Your family
leaves
young people with a lot of fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, both hereditarily and, you know, beliefs. You know what I mean? If you look at this movie in a snakehead eating the head on the opposite side sort of way, like...
he's back! We're just going to set a search party for you.
Yeah. I thought it was the baseball chicken. but, like, yeah.
You all right?
I thought I gave birth for a second.
Great.
Corny thought you were checking yourself for rashes.
Right. You were being irrational. But yeah, I think that, you know, I think a lot of this stuff was like great kind of conversation starters. And I've been complaining about a lot of films, and I guess, you know, you could make an argument that this maybe fits into this new kind of sensibility. But I do feel like this had, its heart was in the right place a little more so than a lot of the stuff that we watch. You know what I mean? Like the story of this girl was central in this, in the writing of this film. It wasn't necessarily like I have a political statement to make and retro engineer it backwards. Right, like right. It didn't feel like that at all. But I do feel, I mean, again, this is like her first full film that they've directed. And I really feel like, I don't know, like I will say that I don't love the way it looked from a film stock point of view, like, but that's me. That's a sensibility that I'm not crazy about, you know. But I think as lit and as an interesting world, I think that this and some incredibly deep, like not even subtext, you know, because it was all right out on the fucking table.
Yeah, yeah.
Some incredibly, really thoughtful commentary on, you know, the. I don't. It's obviously not the American family, but the family unit. Like, I think that this film was aces in that sense, you know. But this might have been more than a young director might not have been punching their weight, in my opinion. You know, does this make it not entertaining?
Just
I did find it very interesting.
Just as a counterpoint, I think that a lot of the what made this work was how bold it was, and I also don't know if
I'd say brazen.
If a seasoned director would have gone there.
I won't disagree.
Yeah.
Like, I think brazen is... Not in a way... Now, I hate to say that because there was a lot of, like, Frankenstein hullabaloo about people fucking losing their shit in the theater, and I don't know. Unless yeah. It was taken out, you know, and...
I could see a couple places, but I think it's probably from people who maybe don't have exposure to a lot of the stuff, you know.
Yeah, the casual film yeah, goer like, wouldn't be seeing
like someone at
a
like,
movie like this on a daily basis.
I think it played at Cannes. I don't recall, but let's say something like Cannes, and people are like, "Oh, like a social commentary about, you know, about veganism and vegetarianism and, you know, like maybe people thought it was something else." And then they went and they were grossed out by some of the scenes. You know, I could see that. It all depends on the expectations that were set, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this certainly is, there's not a huge amount. I mean, unless, like Mar said, it's kind of on the surface. It's not really too deep.
No, no.
You know, there's not a ton of subtext of like, oh, well, like this is a you know, a commentary on this. It just is kind of like there. You know, and maybe there is definitely some stuff there, but, you know, like, one of the things that I thought was, it doesn't really touch on, because it doesn't really talk, I thought it was going to be more about vegetarians and vegans and how they might be repulsed by this, like, you know, because it's hard not to get some sort of expectation when you read the synopsis, right? So, with that... You know, and as someone who the only one on the show anyways that's vegetarian, you know, like that's like I think Raven Shadow even said you may have some trouble with this one or like or you may not like this or something like that. And, you know, and I like to as a film viewer, I like to challenge myself in different ways and, you know, maybe not in the, you know, Serbian film ways, you know, but, you know, I might have some limits, but. But this one definitely didn't seem like it was going to be too far out of my wheelhouse, I guess. So, you know, but it was kind of interesting to see, and I got a little bit of the sort of like how vegetarians aren't understood by people who aren't vegetarians. You know, there's that whole like when she finds the meatball in her food. You know, it's like most people will be like, oh, we'll just eat around it. You know, like what's the big deal? But it depends on why you're vegan or vegetarian in the first place. For a lot of people, it's for moral reasons, you know, but the people who aren't vegetarian or vegan don't typically know why that is. They just think, oh, like they're doing it for dietary reasons, you know, like that's probably what most people think. Like when you guys... I mean, like MZ, you know, you've given me shit for being vegetarian,
and I will till the day I die.
Perfect.
Why? Well, I'll kill you right now, then.
I'll let you know. I was having pork chops when I was watching this.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, what? Like, what? Why is that something to make fun of? Is it just because we're buds and that we've known each other for 20 plus years?
Yeah.
What if I fed you ferret pie?
Wow.
Ferret pie. Well, wow. You know what? Well, first of all, I don't know if ferret would be. I don't know. Can you eat ferret? I guess you could.
Can eat anything?
I guess you could. Well, you're living proof of that. I guess you could.
Well,
you're wearing practically a muumuu, and you're making fun of my size.
Muumuu. I'm wearing a goddamn baseball shirt
and no pants.
I'm wearing pants, pajamas.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is, I give Wolfie a hard time sometimes. But like. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, all you guys do. Rave Shadows, too.
Let people eat what they want. I just don't. I don't know why it's. I don't. You have more bit of vitriol to it than.
like yeah,
it
yeah.
It really seems to offend you somehow politically. Which
can we estimate one
time,
sauce like, to that?
Like why? Like why does it bother you that he doesn't eat meat?
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all.
It bothers Raven Shadow.
No, I know.
No. It doesn't bother me. What bothers me? I can't say it bothers me. What I will say though is that it's like ever since Wolfie decided to go vegan.
He's not vegan.
But yeah, he is vegan.
I'm vegetarian and
with well, what's the difference?
With a strong, strong
it's
vegan. There's
plenty difference. Vegans eat no meat. No dairy. No, nothing that came from an animal.
No animal products at all.
And well, vegetarian is?
No meat.
No meat.
No meat. Now, usually, see, I always thought that vegan was like an abbreviation for vegetarian.
A lot of no. A lot of people eat, I mean, I guess vegetarian, a lot of people like. It means almost like not eating mammals.
So vegan is like the Green Beret of that, right? They're like the elite.
The elite.
They're like the Navy yeah. SEALs of...
The John Rambo of...
Yeah.
Send in the vegans.
Oh, shit.
No, it's acceptable.
No. I give him shit only because I feel like... All right, vegetarian. All right, so we'll say vegetarian. We'll get back to what I was talking about. Vegetarian.
Sure.
Which is Johnny now?
So vegetarian. All right, so you're vegetarian, and like you like look down on those that
I don't look down on anyone.
He doesn't look down on anybody.
I'm talking to him, not you.
I never like have I ever. I told this dude I get him fucking pepperoni pizza. He doesn't want pepperoni because he thinks I'm going to get mad at him.
But I do it for you because I care.
I don't
about
care.
You.
Eat whatever the fuck you want.
Well, I'm just trying
but
to
he
nice.
Eats
if you
cheese.
Want to meat lovers.
But he eats cheese.
Yes, that is so. I have a long day on Wednesdays, obviously, as we all do, you know.
Yeah.
But I come right from work, and when I don't have food pre-made, I have to eat something, right?
Right.
What the fuck is there to eat around here? Around
well,
the studio.
Well, where you get your pizza? But couldn't you get like a vegetarian grinder? Don't they have veggie grinders there?
Yeah, but it's. You know, like I eat a lot of veggies as it is, you know.
So how does that argument hold
it's,
up your...
Because he's
your,
not a vegan.
And it's also, to be honest, it's a lack of willpower. Because I do want to be vegan, but it's hard, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, I can appreciate that. Now, let me ask you this. And this is going towards little Ozzy Osbear.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of food does he eat?
So, and I know I'm probably going to get shit for this from some people, but we actually just ordered him vegan food because we did a lot of research, and dogs can be vegan. Yeah, it's completely fine for them to be vegan. So right now he is on his normal food, but in a couple of days he's going to be getting vegan food, and we're mixing it in with his normal stuff.
Which is probably meat or a meat byproduct.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we obviously have done the research for probably over a year just to make sure. But he will be eating, you know, we're trying to move in that direction. So it's because of him, honestly, we're getting way off topic. Well, not way off topic, but we're getting out of the film review. But for me, and if you guys are wondering or if anyone else is wondering out there, like why I made the decision to not eat meat any longer is because of him. Like, I've had cats, and I have loved all my cats, but there's like, I just can't explain the connection you have with a dog, and maybe Raven Shadow gets it, you know,
yeah,
you know, because he's got Oliver, but when that dude came in my life, like it changed me because I never knew you could be that close to an animal, you know, and so for me, I just couldn't see myself. Continuing to eat animals, you know, that's just the way I came at it. And
if it's for a diet, see, the way I look at it is that if I see it as a dietary reason, I can understand it. Fine, perfect.
You
whatever
can't understand
you want.
A moral reason.
Morality involved. See, the thing is that we have to see the thing we have to look at is we're all born as omnivores, you know, and here we are. We're trying to. Change our.
You mean carnivores?
No, omnivores.
Omnivores.
We can do both.
Everything.
Right. Everything. And to change psychosomatically your process of what you want to eat and what you feel you should eat based on morality,
mm-hmm.
I think is I don't know, that to me that doesn't work. I mean, I understand.
Well,
I understand.
You're a meat eater,
exactly. And yeah. I mean, I understand that you know, the way things work as far as meat goes and how it's processed and everything like that. I get it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's terrible.
It's awful. And I decided, me and you know, and T-Dog decided together that we didn't want to contribute to that. That was our decision that we made because we love this little fucking dude so much that we don't want to see any other animals get hurt. Like, for our food, that is. That's why if you want to eat fucking ribs while you're watching Raw, go for it. That's your fucking prerogative, you know? I'm not going to ever tell anyone they can't do it.
And that's why I appreciate you. That is my only problem with vegans, vegetarians, Democrats, anybody.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's with anyone. You always get those people who are the militant ones who push their agenda on other people. It happens everywhere.
Like, the argument that fucking pisses me off, and I know I've said it on this show enough times that it's like almost bit now, is, you know, people will be like, well, would you eat Frankenstein? No, because Frankenstein is my fucking friend.
Right. Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to fucking eat Tiny White either. Because my friend.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, what kind of eating are we talking about?
Yeah.
But that fucking cow that I had in Shepherd's Pie today could have been a rapist.
I mean, there
I don't know that cow at all. It's not my fucking friend. I don't care. I'd eat fucking. If I didn't know you and I was hungry, I'd fucking eat you.
Look at
Whoa.
Me.
I don't care.
Whoa. Yeah, wait.
And you're going to get the. You're gonna
there's
get
not
the,
much meat
the,
on those bones.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to get it already smoked.
If you don't think I would eat a fucking human,
no.
Like, you're fucking crazy. If I was hungry, I'd chase you down and eat you fucking off the bone.
Whoa,
but like
raw dogging it,
raw dogging bail.
I will starve before I hurt my friends.
So
now, if I get to fucking know a cow and it's a fucking charming cow, I'm not gonna eat that fucking cow.
Dynamo.
That cow's my friend. But I used to live near cows, and all they mostly did is make a fucking lot of noise and smell bad.
So
all they did.
In the chat room, I don't know who Sammy is, but we have someone named Sammy hanging out. What's up, Sammy?
What's up, Sammy?
And Sammy says, I totally understand the sentiment. I went vegetarian shortly after I adopted both of my cats. Slagoth says, that's what my daughter did, Wolfie. I respect it. And Josh from the Cromcast says, eat to live, don't live to eat. Also, hey, everybody.
Hey.
Johnny.
Yeah.
So, and listen, I know this is a very touching thing because, you know, we didn't drink together.
No, I never drank.
We never drank together. You don't drink, you never drank. We never did other stuff.
Correct.
We never, you know, did the bad things, but we had food at times, and there was that very special Thanksgiving episode, day before Thanksgiving, when we had we watched the
Grabbers
movie. No, it was the Grabbers, and we had the Taco Bell stuff, and I was like, you know, something that we had, me and you, man.
So,
and I missed that.
Why can't we?
How does that, if he ate a vegetarian taco that day, how does that change anything else about that day?
I'm open.
I'm open.
But let me ask this, though. Now, I'm not sure. Now, just help me understand.
Okay,
help me. For real, I'm not, I'm just trying to understand the thing. Whether the various levels of the camps, right? The elite.
And the elite, the Green Beret.
Yeah, the best of the best of the best.
The Kale Green Beret, don't forget.
So now where does, and help, please, I think you could educate both Mazda Zero and I. Where does like clothing come into play?
You mean like leather?
Like leather or what? I mean, there's all kinds of like, how do you know what's made of?
They wear fig leaves.
Well, that's also, it depends on whether you're vegan or vegetarian and your mindset. If you're vegetarian, you just don't want to eat them.
Okay.
Like,
but you can wear them.
But I think a lot of vegetarians would make some concessions in other areas because, you know, maybe I'm, you know, like I don't wear leather. I just don't really like it.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, like I may have a leather belt that I've had for years that's just kind of kicking around. But now that I know more about it, like that's something I'm not going to contribute to as well if I can avoid it.
The
you know?
Irony is that you guys like. Probably know, like in the Deadites alone, like you know, there's a pretty good vegetarian representation. Like,
yeah, Tiny was, and
yeah,
you know.
Tiny just started eating chicken in the last year because he was having some health problems.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what anyone does.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that weird of a thing.
No, it's not weird. I think that's where there's also different sides. And I think, you know, if you be open-minded. Like, once again, I don't give a fuck what you do. I don't care who you fuck. I don't care what you eat, what you right. don't eat, what you believe in. Go to fucking work.
Right.
All right? Pay your fucking bills.
I agree. 100%.
I don't give a fuck. As long as
I
they're
agree,
over
100%.
As long as they're over 18, it's consensual.
Right.
Fuck who you want.
Consensual?
Consensual.
If they want you to eat them after, like, who cares?
Yeah. I don't care. So, like, I think it's down to, like, the hypocrisy of every camp, every side has their dicks, right? The ones
right.
that push
them. I just don't want to fucking hear it.
Right, like yeah. if it's a matter of if you, like, I don't eat a cheeseburger, but I'll wear, you know, a mink coat.
Well, I don't know anybody like. I
but
feel
you know
like
what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to like. In the
I
middle,
feel like
is,
that's a very broad like. I
well, then yeah, but I understand what he's getting at.
Is my leather jacket okay? But I won't. I'll judge you for eating meat, but I'll wear
yeah.
leather.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, and that's why I think you know vegan.
I get a politics cramp.
What? What the fuck? He's got a cramp. Go walk it off. Go rub some dirt on it.
Get back in
it's
there.
For that fucking Paul McCartney joke last
oh,
week.
Oh, yeah. It's God punishing you.
So it really comes down to how ignorant do you want to be, I think, is what it comes down to. Like, do you want to just, like, maybe people have a problem with eating meat. They because that's something you're ingesting it, you're putting it in your body, and that's different than wearing it to some people, you know? Like, I could see there being a difference there, you know, and that, but on the other hand, like for vegan, it's like no animal products at all, like including, and it's typically including like no honey, animal products,
well, honey
in conditioner and shampoo, like none of that stuff. You
honey
know?
Is created by bees. You know,
right.
That?
But whether it's ethically sourced is a debate.
I mean, I was getting yelled at by a vegan one day that I saw later on at the coffee shop with a leather jacket on, like a real leather jacket.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I said to them right there, like, I have one pair of Italian leather shoes.
You're welcome.
But like for the most part, like
did you just you speak for all
that?
Italians?
I'm a spokesperson for Italian.
But I have, but like, you know, I own almost no, like that leather. I don't have a leather coat.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any leather, like none of my stage gear. I have a yak fur coat that yak fur is a hair coat. They grow that shit back, you know, like, so, you know, I don't find it particularly cruel because I get haircuts. And if somebody wanted to make a coat out of it, God bless them. But
like, I could have made a nice toupee out of right. what you gave me a few years ago.
So, you know, like, I see where Raven Shadow's coming. There is some hypocrisy to it, but not all. Like, now my special lady friend has rows and rows and rows and rows of shoes that are probably leather. And she may even have a leather jacket. She is a vegetarian, but because she doesn't like the way it tastes. You know, everybody has their own thing. Like, there is a perception that there is a, you know, not that even, like, Republican or Democrat can, you know, be, there's even a fair metric of what one of them is at the end of the day. Like, there isn't, like, really a baseline. The problem is the internet gives people the ability to fucking preach and bitch. So you're getting if you're me, that has little to no animal clothing. Like, I don't have a leather couch. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have fucking ivy tusk like right, hanging right. on my wall, but don't care about people who do. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Johnny, generally, you never hear him talk about it. Maybe sometimes he'll show a picture of some delicious food he made that I would think is delicious anyway. One of my dearest friends is a vegan. I talk to him every day. I love him very much. Never gives me and Jakey or El Goro a hard time about what we're eating. Gives us a hard time about wrestlers we like, but doesn't give us a hard time about what we're eating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but I, about 6 months ago, finally unfriended like people who I am, you know, who I know tangentially through somebody else and whatever else, because I was just fucking sick of these people who were fundamentally strangers butting in and telling me everything I was doing wrong and who to vote for. It's because the internet, it's like the old philosophy. All of us have worked in retail to a degree. For every 10 complaints, you get one person that writes like a nice thing.
Right.
Because it's easier to complain. So you can't really like, you know, granted, like, the vegan thing is pretty funny, and it's like shooting fish in a barrel, and that's maybe like that scene in Scott Pilgrim with the vegan police makes me fucking howl, and I love it. But like, it's not like a, I don't know. It's you can't like, it's the same fucking thing. It's the same thing that we're trying not to do. Like, you can't say all vegetarians are pretentious or all.
Yeah, just to use an example that's very prevalent in our society is the radical. You know, radical religious people, you know,
right.
Like not all Islamic people are like ISIS, you know, right. Like to even make that statement is fucking asinine, you know, and not all Christians or Catholics are, you know, are like crazy. Like right. There's a Westboro Baptist Church, not all, you know, like you have them and then you have regular Catholics and Christians, you know.
I have a question for you, Johnny. And you would know this and the other guys don't know. You may not know it, though, because I don't make a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. It's maybe the first time I've ever talked about prep. Right before a show, when I'm alone, do you know what I do?
Nope.
Rub one out?
Because I'm nope. Not with you when you're alone.
Right. Yeah, I pray. I am a very, very, very spiritual person. I don't talk about it.
Right.
It's not anybody's fucking business.
Right.
You know, I don't think that I'm not an atheist, but I also don't think that God is gonna fucking fix global warming. You know, I'm not a maniac either. You know what I mean? Like, but in my humble opinion, I've seen enough in, you know, 41 years or whatever on this planet that I, you know, maybe there is a God, maybe there's fucking Galactus. I don't know. I've seen some fucking crazy shit. You know, so. I think, what's so funny?
No, nothing. I'm just thinking of something else.
Thinking of fucking fake real rashes in films? Your favorite real cinematic rashes?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Give us your top five cinematic rashes.
That's a show.
Chat room. You know, the irony is number one would not be a real cinematic rash.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, like I think that at the end of the day, you know, like Johnny's trying to say, especially with religion or politics, like we saw... I'll piss some people off. In this last election, we saw the worst of both sides.
Kofefi.
Because the internet gives you the ability, but they were like liberal people that were saying euthanize people. Where I've spent my whole fucking life thinking that that's why I hated them. Well, which people?
Well, and even just something really recent was that whole Kathy Griffin thing.
Right.
Which, you know, like I didn't really know much about it. I just saw the picture. It's in poor taste, you know.
Yeah, I don't care because he's a bad.
Oh, guy. He's terrible.
It'd be like to me. That would be like holding a Charles Manson head.
Sure, but I'm just saying. Like, and she just lost her job at CNN and
Kathy Griffin, bad taste.
All these things. So,
gold dust, poor taste.
Let me catch up real quick on the chat room. Sammy said, "I think the confusion comes from people thinking." Of it as a strict definition set of rules
right.
For the vegetarian lifestyle. It's more of a spectrum of comfort in what you consume, which I totally agree, Sammy. Whatever you feel comfortable with. The thing that I've found is that people don't want to be confronted with the idea that, you know, like, of what happens. A lot of people don't, like, MZ, you said you know what happens to animals when they get slaughtered. Like,
oh, sure.
You've seen the videos, you've seen the pictures.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But a lot of people don't want to even see that. They just want to be blissfully
ignorant.
Oh, yeah,
they just want the final product on their plate. Yeah. They don't want to see the process.
Which is fine. I mean, it's everyone's prerogative.
If you don't want to know
where it comes from, that's totally fine. But if people find out where it comes from and don't like it, you have to be okay with them making the decision not to partake, you know? So, and let's see. Bosch says it's tough to provide food for 7 billion mouths 3 times a day.
it's simple and it's dumb, but just let fucking people be.
Yeah.
The only way this world is going to fucking survive, the only way we're going to evolve is if you provide for yourself, you take care of your family, you take care of the people who need it, and hopefully the person next door is providing for themselves, taking care of his family, taking care of the people that, that are in their area that need it, and eventually that fucking moves. Don't fucking, you know, don't fucking talk about it. Don't fucking try to make, don't try to change my mind. Just go out and be a fucking good person. Go home and eat what you want. Drink what you want.
Yeah.
Jack off as much as you fucking
want.
Yeah. And you know, like, whatever. If you
smoke
fucking
butts.
If you can only fucking come by shoving a vanilla Coke Zero up your ass and fucking jacking off with fucking salad tongs, God bless you.
That's very specific, Dynamo.
A little bit too specific. Yeah. No,
I don't know where I came up with that.
Yeah. Put those salad tongs away.
God, put that soda can down.
But God bless you. Yeah. You know? Like, I don't want Michael Raven Shadow to die from smoking, or Monster Zero die from telling a dumb joke. Like, I don't want that to happen. But, you know, like, at the end of the day, Michael Raven Shadow doesn't smoke around me.
Oh, he smokes outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, and he's smelly. But, like, you know, like, I'm not, like, getting secondhand smoke. He's very, even though I've said he could smoke in the house, he's always very respectful about going outside. Like, you know. Monster Zero doesn't like make me eat Bradish's hamburgers. Like, you know, just do what you want to do. Like, what makes you fucking people think that you can tell people what to do any more than you can fucking save people in fucking Brazil? Right. Like on the internet, like what makes you think that you could do what Coop does? Coop put some fucking recipes up. Coop put some fucking facts and figures up about things and doesn't try to change your mind, but say, hey, here's this. Here's what you need. Here's how you can survive and be healthy and not eat any meat product at all. Right? Like, and it's like, have a conversation. An exchange of ideas is always good and healthy. But don't tell me what to do. Don't tell anybody what to do. Just fucking try. Like Michael Raven Shadow said, just get a job and go to work
right. And
shut up.
Don't hurt people.
Yeah, don't fucking rape kids and don't kill anybody. It's so fucking simple. But as a species, we can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
We can't get it right. Just fucking go bag your groceries and don't fucking touch anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fucking simple, but we can't do it. We can't do it. Because you know, and you know what? Because we're too busy saying like, well, don't vote for this person. Don't vote for that. Think this. Think that. You know what? You don't have to like African-American people. You don't have to like gay people. You don't have to like Jewish people. You don't have to like fat Irish guys. You know, you don't have to.
I don't?
Oh, no.
Good.
But, but don't be mean to anybody and don't hurt them. If you want to be fucking dumb and racist and stupid and not inclusive, then fucking do it. You know, just be quiet and then we won't have a problem.
Yeah.
I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to talk about it.
You can't come to Rocket Shop.
Right. But just fucking keep it to yourself. You know, I'm not going to change your mind. It's not my fucking job to tell you what to do. It's my job to lead by example and try to be the best person I can. And as soon as the fucking world understands that, and they're not like, I need to get on the internet and tell everybody how to be. Like, no, just fucking go out and do it. Don't talk about having a fucking band. Don't talk about having a podcast. Don't talk about fucking saving people in Brazil. Don't fucking talk about when I get a job, go get a fucking job. Go to work. Keep a job. Go to work. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, at the end, like, just stop fucking preaching.
Yeah. You can't preach if you're fucking working.
Right.
You don't break yet? No. You don't break.
Yeah.
Corny says this is the basis of the Dynamo Evil Corny 2020 campaign.
Like, just fucking leave people alone.
Cecil says that ticket has my vote.
Right. Leave.
Riku says I love when Dynamo's voice gets all high. Wolfie, have you tried the Soylent stuff?
Leave people alone. It's very simple. That's why I want to make a fucking shirt. Leave people alone. If some dude is just fucking so fucking fat that he can only clean himself with a rag on a stick and he's fucking healthy, how does that fucking bother you? Don't go on the internet and tell him not to be fat if he's happy being fat. It's none of your fucking business.
Were you that fat kid, Dynamo?
No, but I used to pick on him all the time. Say, why are you so fucking fat? Yeah.
Thank you.
I could wear that anywhere.
Oh, Julie Meow Meow says, your platform. Get a job, go to work, and shut up.
Right. Listen, at the end of the fucking day, there is nothing that you can say in a fucking tweet that is going to change anybody with any fucking self-respect. Evil, good, anybody who has any fucking vision of self-respect, they're not going to go, holy shit, 32 characters, and this person just blew my fucking mind apart. I'm not going to eat meat, and I'm not going to fucking rape people anymore.
Anymore.
I should have fucking...
One of those things you should do.
Anymore.
I should have got on fucking Twitter, 990... Bill Cosby, if there was fucking Twitter... Like, he should have got on Twitter 992 rapes ago. But the reality is that you're not going to change bad people's mind, and you're not going to change good people that want to be alone. So take that fucking, take that energy and just fucking make yourself better. And be Wonder Woman, be Superman, be fucking Michael Ravenshadow.
Thank you.
Be Tiny White. And like, you look at those people and say, holy shit, that person did it. Didn't tell anybody what to do, led by example. And I want to
ride. What the hell took you so long, Johnny?
What was it? And one last thing.
Thank you.
Treat. I don't even know what that is.
From the famous Howard the Human rant from the Best Of. I believe volume 2 of the Chicka Chicka Radio Best Of.
Alright, so everyone's asking us to talk about the movie. Creepy Girl's like, so, what did you guys think of the movie?
Creepy Girl, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I just talked to you in 10 minutes. Don't tell me what to do.
Corny
go
says,
to get a job, go to work, and shut up.
Corny says, don't be an asshole in 2020.
Right. Yeah. Me and Corny are going to fucking hang up such cool posters in the Oval Office. I got an old velvet Farrah Fawcett I'm going to hang up.
Nice. Ooh, on the ceiling.
No. Yeah. I'm going to talk about what I fucking want. Yeah. I got a podcast. I don't tell you what to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Where were we with this movie? So we talked about the finger scene, right? Did we finish talking about it?
We never got to the conclusion of why it made Michael Ravenshaw not like it, though.
Yeah.
No,
so
it just like, it like there's no like.
Is it too gross?
No. Okay. It wasn't. There's like really no like Da Vinci Code. You know, Metzler. Like
Metzler.
What's his name? Metzler.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, like the New York Metzlers.
Brad Meltzer.
Is that it? From he did the DC stuff. He did Justice League.
Justice
and,
League CSI.
Wait, is he related to Dave?
Uncle Dave.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. So there's
don't
no
you fucking say anything bad. I'll tell you right now. You want to get me worked up? Don't you say anything bad about Uncle Dave. Looking at you.
He's talking to you.
Lumpy.
Me? I wasn't saying anything.
Don't you say anything bad about Uncle Dave.
I wasn't saying anything there.
That's who I'm praying to all this time. Uncle fucking Dave.
Yeah. He goes to work.
He fucking does. He writes about wrestling for a job. You want to write about wrestling for a job? Go fucking do it.
You want to write only one article for Horror How magazine?
Do it.
Go do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
You can be a one-time contributor, too.
You want to contribute a second time? Go fuck yourself.
He's too busy fucking working on his rash now.
You want to sell your couch for a week and sit on the floor? Do it. You want to sleep with newspapers? Fuck it. Give a fuck. Sell your AC, too, while you're at it.
Monster Zero's the only dude with two houses, and he's living like a homeless person. So, Monster Zero, just so the listeners know, now that you've sold your couch, where do you sit?
In my chair.
Yeah. Where does your girlfriend sit?
On the floor.
Wow. Oh, my God.
To be fair, she could go outside, so... No, it's nice.
It's a nice lounging chair, too, man. I pressed a button, I leaned back, you know.
He's a teabag.
Riku says, Corny, if you need a theme song for 2020, see if Depeche Mode will let you use People or People. Is that going to be your theme song, Mars?
Different color. I'll tell you what.
No,
one
people are People Are Strange from... what's his name?
Doors.
No, what's his Doors.
Oh, Edward Furlong.
Ed Furlong, yeah.
Oh.
I hate the Doors.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a song to play.
Oh, my Lord.
Maybe should I play it then?
Why don't you get into office first before you play that joint?
I'll tell you this. See, I love everybody except young people.
Fair.
All young people.
Yeah, they suck.
You just made a Monster Zero generalism.
But it's right.
I think what a beautiful, beautiful sentiment to
this. Oh my God, this song.
And by the way,
oh, listen to that saxophone.
To all the people today that got on the internet and told me how to review this movie and how excited they were to hear me talk about it, you're welcome.
Oh.
MZ, you put the rash back in rational.
This guy sounds like what?
I stole that from Julie.
Like,
meow,
what's his name? Brian from Blade Runner and the horror show.
Oh, Brian James.
Yeah. It sounds like Brian James character from that Sam Raimi movie. There put out a record. Please, mister, don't hit me with that bat.
All that did was give me a hard on.
All right, what else about this fucking movie? Jesus Christ. The one thing we haven't talked about is it certainly is an interesting way to find your meal, what they did on the road there.
Oh, yeah.
Was a little crazy,
kind of extreme, but you know, you got to get shit done.
I just
know?
Fucking hate cannibal and body movies.
Cannibal and body movies.
Yeah.
What's a body movie?
You know, like the body horror.
The body movie.
A body movie.
I don't like that shit, man.
You mean body horror? Or?
I said body horror. Yeah.
But you didn't say body horror. You said body movies.
Cannibal and body movies.
Yeah.
Body movies.
Body.
That's pretty much every movie ever made.
Electric body movies?
Yeah. No.
Maybe with the exception of The Adventures of Milo and Otis, there is probably every body movie ever made.
Yeah. Heavenly Bodies, remember that? Student Bodies, that was a movie. I like that one.
Not
Heavenly Bodies? Yeah, Heavenly Bodies with Jimmy Del Rey.
There you go.
That's what Edward Furlong sounds like, Jimmy Del Rey, how he would... My gyrations are strange.
My gyrations are strange.
My mullet is strange.
Raven Chad, what did you think of the scene when they covered her in blue body paint?
Oh, the yellow. Ooh.
And told her to go into a closet and not come out until she was green.
Yeah.
That was
after
sexy.
The other dude had yellow.
Oh, I knew what that meant.
Oh, good. Thank God.
They were going to have a team up. Right, because they merged.
A Titanic team up.
Bedroom bam bam.
Some bedroom bam bam.
Perfect. No. I mean, that was sexy, but dude, I just checked out. I didn't. There's no.
So you checked out of the finger scene.
After that, I just thought it was dumb. I don't like cannibal movies.
It's interesting that was the Charles Durning point for both you and Mars.
Yeah,
in different ways.
That's a good thing about a tag team. You have the diversity. But no, it wasn't like I was offended. It was pretty tame. It should be called tame. It wasn't that over the top in my mind. I just didn't care. I looked at my
phone.
This
is one of those few cannibal films.
I wish for a Holocaust.
That's outside of any Amazonian jungle that's really got some smarts to it. I really love I'm going to echo what Dynamo said about the way it looks, the way the film looks. I got to say it's not completely up to snuff, but maybe that was purposefully done given
the title of the movie.
Given the title of the movie and given the context involved.
Yeah,
you know, I think they wanted it they didn't want to gloss it up, but they wanted it but so they toned it down a bit. Yeah, and that's evident. You could see that.
Hey, Monster Zero.
Yo.
Sweet Pup. Just so you know, just for the sake of time, you could have some real fucking brilliant, profound stuff to say, and no one's listening to you after the rash thing. Well, you threw your credit.
I'm listening to him.
Yeah. Well,
that's because you're in here.
Right.
Yeah, I have to.
You've been aware for 30 years that he doesn't have any credibility.
Yeah. This is a movie that's got something to say, you know, and I think the veganism, vegetarian, whatever you want to call it, angle in this movie is a strong one. And
the hobby they do.
But the thing is, and I'm not disputing what you're saying, MZ, I'm just saying that it starts off kind of talking about it and then it goes off.
It goes off to the wayside rather early on.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's brought back up. Then it's brought back up in the end.
Sure, sure.
You know,
sure.
And yeah. so it's like, see, you might think that it's all about this, but
yeah,
we're going back to what we originally started out with. I really dug the soundtrack. It's very European. It almost sounds familiar,
like
actually.
Claudio Castagnoli? Yeah, it did sound...
I could swear it sounded familiar, like from yeah. Baskin or something like that. It was just a very... You know what? The more I think about it...
I thought you were having a seizure.
The more I think it might be... I think the movie Cannibal has that soundtrack from Marion Dora. I'm almost certain of it. It sounds very, very, very familiar. But
from Dora the Explorer?
Marion Dora the Explorer from the movie Cannibal. And Raven Shadow, you want to lose your mind? Watch that movie. You will lose your fucking mind.
Lots of rashes in that movie.
You don't like rashes either.
And, but I saw that people were puking leaving the theater, you know, I figured even if that's not, you know, just some sort of publicity stunt, I don't find much credence in it because I, you know, how can you? In this day and age, how can you?
People leave the theater when they had the ESC and Reservoir Dogs.
Right. Or a lot of people on, I went and saw Pulp, me and a tiny wife went and saw Pulp Fiction, like, 10 or 11 times. And like a lot of people every time left during the Ving Rhames scene.
One for me was what was Tarantino's last film?
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. One, she didn't walk out, but the woman sitting next to me was like horrified by some of the stuff that happened in that.
Jeez.
So I thought she actually like was blocking her eyes at some points.
Really?
So it's, you know, like if, and that film, you know, like obviously it wasn't like gross out disgusting, but there was some pretty like sudden brutal scenes.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, I thought there was some as well. Nothing that was shocking to me, you know, because I guess we're pretty desensitized, but there was some pretty gross out scenes, I guess you could say. The one with the hairball, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I also like, I don't know.
My cat does that.
I'm also very sensitive to... We've talked about this a lot of times. I don't like watching people eat. Like, so that... Remember that Theater Bazaar movie we watched?
Sweet.
Yeah. Mm. That fucking shit drove me, like, nuts. Like, so I don't like anything like that. So I went into this thinking I was going to be grossed out. But nothing really bothered me except for one thing. I don't know how old she actually was. But she looked the age she was playing. And I felt like I saw a little too much of... like a child. That made me uncomfortable.
Let's see. The Cecil says, I did think the soundtrack was well done. The same guy scored A Field in England. Which is awesome. Julie Meow Meow says, Troll 2 is kind of vegan cannibals. Well, vegan monsters.
That's true. Yeah.
Courtney says, Rashes and Bradishes. Lost in Atlantis says that's called marketing. I was in the theater, nobody barfed, no fainting. I'm sure it happened, but my guess is it was probably one of those festival screenings, maybe Cannes or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of that was fabricated as well. Even if it happened to one person, they probably said, oh, it happened in several screenings, you know, because why wouldn't you say that, you know? So Cecil says Jim Williams, he works with Ben Wheatley Films.
Mm. If it was a fucking fabrication, I like it a lot. But that's the type of carny I am. So
yeah. Slaygoth says I only watched the documentary about Troll 2. I'll never watch that film. Courtney says The Passion of the Christ grossed me out. And Julie says the Black Swan fingernail scene freaked me out.
Yeah. I didn't
like that. Yeah. There's only one scene.
You looking at Black Swan?
I was thinking that.
There's only one scene that has ever really freaked me out. Well, not freaked me out, but kind of made me sick.
What's that?
And it's going to seem so tame, but for every time I see it, it just gives me the chills. And you guys are going to laugh, probably. Andy Warhol's Flesh for Frankenstein, 1971.
Okay.
There is a scene in which
the female monster is stitched up on her abdomen, on her stomach. And Udo Kier, who plays the Baron, is taking the scissors and snipping the stitches on her stomach. And as he's cutting, little drips of blood starts to come out. I mean, it's very, very, very small drips of blood coming out of the wound. And, I mean, it's not a very good special effect. This is 1971, after all. And
he didn't really cut her?
No, unfortunately he didn't. And it's just the sound of the snipping with the stitches going and the blood just, you know, just trickling out of this wound. And it just made me sick to my stomach. I mean, at that point, I've seen a good amount of stuff. I mean, I saw this movie back in, what, 88, probably. And so I've seen a good fair share of stuff back in the day. But when I saw that, it just made me sick. It gave me a headache and everything.
All right. Well, is there anything else we haven't tackled in this that you guys really wanted to talk about? I know we didn't get too much into the ending because I do kind of want to leave a little bit of that to the viewer.
I feel like a lot of people, and I spoke with a lot of people today about, you know, this movie, and I feel like a lot of people, as far as the, like, I thought that there was going to be something there that was going to be like a revelation. Or something, like, I don't know. Like, I guess I don't.
Did you think it was more on the social commentary tip than it was, than it ended up being?
No.
Okay.
I thought that it was, I don't know. Like, I felt like, I can't explain. I just felt like it, this movie, like, happened. It went, it did its thing, to varying degrees of execution, and it ended. Had nice hair.
The one thing that we haven't really talked about, and I don't want to talk in too much detail, but the sibling fight, that was got to be one of the fucking craziest sibling fights I've seen.
See, now, also, like, I feel like that kind of, to a degree, if not played for comedy, had to be marginally self-aware. Like, that's fucking ridiculous, right? Like, in a good way. You know what I mean? But, like, that couldn't have been somebody like, this is my masterstroke of dramatic beat. You know? Like, I feel like that, like, that is one of the things I'm glad we brought it up that I feel like didn't really work for me, because I feel like it was too ludicrous to be dramatic, and they didn't lean into it another way for it to be satirical, I guess, in any way, or comedic, you know, like. So.
Well, the build up of what led to it, you know, was I can understand, given what happened, why Justine would rightfully
oh,
be
sure.
be upset.
No, I agree. Yeah, sure.
And then it just, you know, granted, I think there was something else driving them as well.
Sure, but think about the way it was blocked out. You know, like, there was almost like dancing, you know, like at that Empire, like almost pirouetting in like a like very in your face revelation of their, you know, their being. The last few minutes didn't work for me. You know, I've talked to Lost in Atlantis, and she was, but the last few minutes worked for me. We talked about it a little bit as a commentary on families and her, the shit that
hereditary.
And also, like, you know, again, just the fact that these children were brought up in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like tiny.
Well, it's almost kind of like, and once again, maybe this is a little spoilery, but you can't deny your nature kind of
no,
thing.
No, right.
Right. Be a scorpion.
You know, but like, I'm not going to say who, you know, like I almost did, but one of my dearest friends is an atheist, and his oldest daughter really is getting this strange, out of nowhere spiritual bent that I know a lot of parents would try to, like, break or demystify, because they are not that way, but, you know, he's letting her find her own way. And even the kind of I don't really believe in, like, you know, morally, don't kill and hurt, don't let your kids kill and hurt people, don't let them be fucking Dexter, but, like, I don't believe in, like, this family is Catholic, or this family is vegetarian, or this, like, let your children find their own way.
Yeah.
But the
all about individuality,
right,
man.
But I feel like that is a really – the end of this is a very interesting statement that I feel like the visual gag doesn't really work. Okay. It like, doesn't really hold water. No. Special effects-wise, it's fine, but it doesn't really hold water. You've gone your whole life and never seen that?
Well, that's where I thought the ending was going to lose me, but then I gave it some extra thought. And it's because of that that I feel that the ending does work for me. I understand what you're saying, and at first I would have agreed with you 100%. Then I got to thinking about what went on during the course of the film involving Justine, and I realized, yeah, it's possible for what you said not to happen, mm-hmm. to happen. Not to give away too, not you know, not to be spoilery at all. I know it sounds rather vague, but
that's about as close as I can get. Give much away. Julie Meow Meow says, stuff you can legitimately imagine how it would feel tends to create a more visceral reaction, I think. Kind of talking back to the Black Swan thing and, mm-hmm. you know, and I totally agree with that. So, all right, well, let's, actually, one more thing. Lost in Atlantis says, wait, what? The end is fantastic. All of the implications.
She's not listening. The implications, like Elm Street gets all over again. The implications are brilliant. The delivery, I feel like, isn't very well thought out. Now, it might have been well thought out in the sense where you see it, boom, fade to black. You don't have a lot of time to dwell on the fact that it doesn't work. But you know, that mentality only works if you're gonna like stop thinking about the movie once the movie stops.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've talked about this for a while. I know we did veer off into a very long, side discussion, which was still relevant or brought about by the film. So, you know, I think it was definitely relevant still. But let us go to the verdict.
Trick or treat, baby.
I wonder if people would say you're a trick or a treat.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
All right, verdict time. We're going to let you know whether this flick was a trick or a treat, and any final thoughts we may have. Raven Shadow, let's start it with you.
Yeah, listen, this was a movie that was made, and I'm sure it was fine for people who liked it. It just didn't work for me. I completely checked out, and sorry, not for me.
Trick. Sorry. You don't have to apologize.
Yeah, no,
if it didn't work for you, it didn't work
for me.
Yeah,
it's all like it's all about individuality, man.
Thank you.
And you are an individual, all right?
I got fucking problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right, MZ.
Yeah, I like this. This was definitely a treat for me. I love very, very European style, from the way it's shot to certain scenes and what they were able to get away with, as well as the score, which I thought was fantastic. The leads were really, really good, and it delivers a deeper message than just a simple cannibal film. But this is one of the better ones that doesn't involve any South American jungles.
Yeah.
This is really, really quite good. This is a treat.
All right, Mars Man.
No one else was kind of creeped out by the little girl, Nick?
Not little girl, the main character, right?
Right.
Well, she's in college.
She's in college.
Yeah.
Oh, she's supposed to be 17 years old, it says.
I think she was like 18 or 19.
That's not what it said in the synopsis.
But that don't mean anything. Mary Collingwood in Last House on the Left was just turned 16, and the first thing you see is her getting out of the shower. So.
She was not really 16.
Exactly.
But this girl looks 16.
That don't mean anything. Okay. Oh, if you look, you look like you're 60, but you're not.
Okay. This did remind me of a film Wiley did hit me to, called Excision. I thought this was much better than Excision, but I think Excision delivered some of its, I guess for lack of a better way to put it, subtext a little better, executed it a little better than this.
Subtext.
Right. But yeah, I thought I was going to hate this, but this was pretty good. It was a treat. I'll probably never watch it again. Like, I don't think it has much to offer for on repeat viewing, but, you know, I thought this was a treat. I do recommend this.
Julie Meow Meow says, no turtles were harmed in the making of this cannibal movie.
A rarity.
All right. And for me, this also...
A rarity.
This also was a treat for me. And I'm not sure if it was intentional or not. And this is something we didn't really tackle in the discussion. But this kind of played off to me like girl goes to college and gets experimental, but not with, you know, with her sexuality, but with eating meat and something kind of much worse, you know? So I don't know if that was sort of kind of playing with that a little bit, but that's one of the things that kind of like hit me while I was watching it. I did think, I mean, granted, it's a fucking movie. I get it. Suspension of disbelief. It was a little far-fetched that she went as far as she did so quickly.
Yeah.
But in context of the film, it made total sense to me. So it's not really a critique. And I enjoyed this a lot more than other films that maybe are in the same subgenre. Films like Starry Eyes, Felt, Contracted, like where there's, you know, a main character who goes through a major kind of change throughout the movie. And it sort of is a body horror in a way, you know. I wouldn't necessarily consider this a body horror, but I feel that it fits in the category with those movies. But this one was better than all of those, in my opinion. And I think that this just had better focus than a lot of those films, despite it being fucking crazy at times. And I thought there were some pretty damn tense scenes in this that really kind of kept you captivated throughout. So, no, I did enjoy this, and it definitely is thought-provoking. It, you know, I don't think it's supposed to get you thinking about, like, oh, like, you know, would I eat a person? I you know, I think it goes a little bit deeper than that, but not where it's buried in subtext and you can't really get the meaning out of it. But, you know, I definitely think that this was a great debut film. And I definitely am curious to see some more output from the director, and looking forward to it.
It did remind me I need to go get a Brazilian.
Yeah, you definitely need one.
It's been a while.
Been a while.
That shit's smooth, though, normally.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Monsieur will tell you all about it. Yeah. Rubs his nose on it.
Yeah. Feels like a baby's butt.
Yep.
All right, so next week we're going to do a movie that is available on Shudder. So if you guys have Shudder out there, I believe it's still available. Last time I looked, it was. And the name of the film is Prevenge. So this played at BUFF, at the Boston Underground Film Fest. We weren't able to catch it when it was there, but it looks like a pretty interesting movie.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about that.
And you know who stars in it, MZ?
No, I don't.
It is Joe Hartley.
Oh,
no, not... hold on. Not Joe Hartley. The woman from... She was in Triple X.
Nice.
Ozzy Argento?
No.
It is still available.
Okay, cool. Man, the girl from Heavenly Creatures. What's her name?
Oh.
Is it Alice Lowe? Was it?
No.
Man, that girl.
Melanie Lynskey.
I thought that she was in it. Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
It's also one of my favorite They Might Be Giants songs.
Yes.
Alice Lowe directed it, and she was in Sightseers, Hot Fuzz.
Locke?
The World's End, Locke, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I think I got my actresses mixed up, so I apologize.
Who did she play
that
in Locke? Person in Trunk?
Second
person
voice
on radio.
Yeah, second radio. Second phone call.
radio voice number 4.
Yeah, I think I got her mixed up with
Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah.
I adore her. I love her.
So, yeah, so we're going to check out Prevenge. If you guys have Shudder, you can check it out.
Yeah. Go to work.
Hey.
Shut up.
He's expressing his individuality. Leave him the fuck alone.
Change your ways.
Why? Why does he have to change his ways? All right. Well, it is time to go to a break. So if you guys want to play along, you can go ahead and watch Prevenge. And Creepy Girl says, good film. And Julie Meow Meow says Prevenge is still on Shudder. And Cecil says another Wheatley cohort. And yes.
Fuck.
What? You don't like Ben Wheatley?
No, I'm just going to be on another fucking week, man.
What about Summer Wheatley?
Yeah, what, is she pregnant? What's going on there?
But I won't be here next week, but I'll still watch the film. I'm going to be in Maine, but I'll still watch the film and I'll still review it.
Is he going
to
call on Skype?
No.
Good. Why don't you do that?
MZ? We're going to get someone to fill your seat?
Yeah, well,
leave a voicemail.
You could get Aries because he still left his drink here.
Well, we'll light the MZ signal and see if anyone answers.
No, he didn't leave his whiskey.
Oh, great! You fucking pointed it out to him.
God,
I forgot about this.
Well, of course you did. You were drunk at the time.
You would have forgot about that whole night if it wasn't.
All right, we need to cut to a break. We'll come back. We're going to play voicemails and finish things up.
Yeah.
Why is the back?
One dark and stormy night in the mid-80s, Joe Bob Briggs, Harlan Ellison, and the ghost of El Santo pulled a train on Elvira while Siskel and Ebert sobbingly masturbated in the corner. From that union arose the greatest movie critic and luchador that ever lived. We're not going to talk about him. He's kind of a dick. Instead, we're going to talk about me, El Goro, the stuttering movie fan and host of the Talk Without Rhythm podcast. Every week on Talk Without Rhythm, I discuss 2 to 3 movies tangentially tied together by a theme. I cover action.
And the most complete fighter in the world.
Sci-fi.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Horror.
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
And the continuing adventures of James Spader, sexual deviant.
You're not worried that I'm going to fuck you, are you? I'm not interested in that, not in the least. Now pull up your skirt.
So check me out at tworpodcast.blogspot.com, drunkenzombie.com, or subscribe on iTunes. Talk Without Rhythm, the only podcast that will not attract the word. Adios.
Hey, you matzo heads, this is Larry Fine, and you're listening to Trick or Treat Radio.
Oh, delicious nerds. Ms. M knows you like to chat it up with other sexy shut-ins about comics, movies, video games, and your favorite TV shows. If that sounds like you, cuddle up to the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group, or the FIB. That stands for Fan Interaction Board. Just go to Facebook and search for Trick or Treat Radio and have more fun than a Jedi at a lightsaber sale. Not enough? Watch us on YouTube, The Deadites TV, all one word. Last but not least, check out the world's most dangerous talk radio show, Trick or Treat Radio, at trickortreatradio.com.
I'm Alex West.
And I'm Andrea Subisati, and we're from the Faculty of Horror podcast.
And you're listening to Trick or Treat Radio.
Returned on Trick or Treat Radio.
Hooray.
And we're going to play some feedback.
Hey, can I say something real fast?
Yes.
I got another announcement. How about that?
Oh!
Oh! Hey, on June 23rd, if you live in the area, the good folks at the Cove Music Hall, you know, Ted is a great guy, is having a benefit for me and my family to help us in our kind of shitty time. The lineup is confirmed. There might be some more people added, but as of now, it is the heavy metal sounds of Strangler Needs a Manicure. I almost said Minotaur. and that is Clark Brown from Dr. Buchenheimer. Clark and I go way back.
Oh, nice.
There's a time when we were kind of the two front men on the, you know, the opposite side of the coin, kind
what,
of.
What was a strangler needs what?
A manicure.
Okay.
My children, the punk band The Pathetics. The incredible power pop sound of Thinner, one of my favorite bands from this area ever. And as of right now, it's going to be kicked off by my brother, one of my best friends, the most important Deadite who you never hear about, the man that turns the not suck lever, who also happens to be one of the most gifted songwriters I've ever met, an acoustic set by Roger LaValle.
Nice.
So I'm very excited about this. These are people who are all much bigger rock personalities than I ever was that are kind of gathering together to raise some ducats for me. So that's June 23rd at the Lucky Dog Music Hall. I'm really, really excited for it. I'm really touched. I'm really honored. And the Deadites will be involved in some capacity, but not playing. There's a little bit of confusion to that because of what Ted called it, but I'm not ready to sing a whole Deadite set, you know. I could maybe get away with singing a couple songs, and maybe I will, but not, you know, it's tough. I lose my voice doing this podcast at the end of things, so I couldn't do a whole Deadite set.
All right, well, that sounds fucking awesome, Dynamo.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
That's very cool. Hopefully lots of folks that are in the area can go and check that out and help support. And for those who are further away that would like to come hang out with us, You can do so at Rockin' Shock.
Yeah.
October 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Sleep at Ravenshaw's house. He didn't sell his furniture.
It's true. All right. Well, let's head to some voicemail and we'll start to wind things down a little bit here. Let's, first of all... Oh, dude.
God damn, dude.
Smell.
No, leave the door open. Leave the door open. We're not...
When the AC's on, the door closes.
Oh, God.
You got to do some more fucking hand signals? All right. Well, I think this is going to be about the movie, so it seems appropriate to start with that. So let's hear from our boy, Arkham Josh.
Yeah!
Hello, Trick-or-Treat Radio guys.
Hey!
It's Josh from the Arkham Film Society here. Sorry I wasn't able to send in a message last week, and I didn't get to see that film either. But I was very excited that you guys were covering Raw this week. As you know, I saw it a few weeks back and was very impressed. It's extremely well done. Film with a good story, a great cast. It's a really strong feature debut from the director, Julia Ducournau, I think. And I was just very excited to get to, you know, not only see this film, but to see it in a theater. And actually, you know, there's a little Grand Guignol connection on this, in that I first found out about this film back at Rockin' Shock from Bobby Chains, because he had heard of it and he told me about it, and unfortunately, the plan was when the film finally came out, he wanted me to come on the Chain Gang and review it with them. But looks like that wasn't going to happen. But I was psyched to see it. I hope he's had a chance to see it and that he enjoys it. But overall, I thought it was a fantastic film because it has a lot of. Like elements of it that kind of harken back to the heyday of Euro horror, and most people when you say Euro horror, they just think of like Italian films, but I'm thinking more specifically of the Spanish and French films of the 60s and 70s. The film had a lot of the atmosphere and mood, and even kind of like. Certain compositions reminded me of the films of Jean Roland. The aspect with the car accidents definitely reminded me of José Larraz's Vampires. Mm. There's So there's definitely like a lot at play with a lot of referencing and homaging, but unlike a lot of films that are full of homage and reference, this actually feels thoroughly, like, entirely modern, and that kind of sets it apart in its own way. The film's also got a very interesting score. I especially like the track with the heavy organ track that repeats a couple times.
Yep.
Probably going to look into picking this one up when I get a chance. If I had any criticism, it's actually, there's a scene at the very end of the film which I just frankly thought was unnecessary. And it's one of those things where, like, when it happens, then you kind of start to rethink, like, earlier things that start to make slightly less sense. But overall, this is a big treat and a big recommend. And I tried like crazy today to get to see the 2011 film Junior. You might not know about this, but the director, she wrote and directed a short in 2011 called Junior, and it stars the same lead actress. And whereas it's not the same thing, it definitely tackles a lot of the same themes, only this time as like kind of a tomboy in high school, kind of like a coming-of-age thing. And I guess it played a lot of festivals to some acclaim. It is available online via like IndieWire, but it's a pay service, so I don't know, I wasn't going to plunk down money just for a short, just for a call-in type of thing. but if anybody out there has had a chance to see it, I'd be interested to hear about it. And I don't know if any of you guys had read anything about it. But, all right, I hope you guys are all having a good one. I will repeat that it is a treat and a high recommend. And, yeah, hopefully I get to see you guys soon, all right? Bye.
I miss that fucking guy a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to let us know if you have Wednesday coming up, Josh. We'd love to get you in the studio.
I'd like to get you into bed.
And so I had not seen Junior. I assume none of you guys have seen it?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so I think that was the short. I don't know if it was, you know, if there's a similar story or if it just was a short with the same actress, but actually reading the synopsis, it says Justine, who goes by Junior, is a 13-year-old tomboy with pimples and a unique sense of humor. After unexpectedly contracting a stomach virus, her body becomes home to a bizarre metamorphosis.
She really got sick for that too.
Yeah, she did. You were kidding, right?
No.
Please.
I'm not going to save face and say no.
Just come on, break kayfabe.
I mean, take off the mask. The scene where she was eating the raw salmon.
They don't let you wear masks in Madison Square Garden in the 60s. Show your face. Show your true face.
Bronze God.
Right.
Bronze
God.
Thanks, Josh. We appreciate and glad you dug the flick. All right, let's hear from, I think we got one from Riku. We do. Let's hear from Riku.
Hey, Trick or Treat Radio. It's Riku. So, I turned 28 yesterday.
Happy birthday, man. Dude.
Fuck you.
The 13th video game. And I'm calling to let you guys know, don't buy it yet. Wow. It has a lot of bugs. It has server issues. It doesn't have single player at this point. Yeah, just don't pick it up. Not yet. Keep an eye on their Twitter, because they are diligently trying to work on it. I mean, it's a 12-man team, though, so it's going to take them a little time. But it's legitimately a fun game. I've gotten to play, like, one round, and it is fun, but just wait. Just wait.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's no real question or anything for me, so see ya.
All right, Riku. Thanks,
happy birthday,
man.
Riku. That's
birthday, dude.
Happy birthday, buddy.
I'm hoping by this time next year, they just, like, I know that the one player is supposedly going to be DLC, but I'm hoping that they come out with like the, you know, like how they do with a lot of fighting games and stuff, just a jacked up, you know, double dip version where it's got one player already.
And as far as I know, this was the dev team's first, like their first release, the company.
Yeah.
And, you know, it game development can be expensive. So I imagine they need to get a product out there in the wild, bring some cash in. And
it looks fucking beautiful.
I watched some streams of it, saw some people playing
it. And if you look at the fucking, you know, it's a licensed game. So if you look at it, like getting it out was imperative because a lot of fucking things could move and somebody might lose the rights to the stuff. And, you know, you might have spent a 4 years developing a game you can't put out.
I mean, it has such a great Friday the 13th atmosphere to it, you know, just the sound of the night sky, you know, the crickets and everything.
When I ordered it, I misunderstood. I thought it was a Freaky Friday video game.
Now that would have been cool, you know, and the soundtrack and all, and it just looks good.
Kane fucking so hot.
Looks real fucking good.
Look real good.
Yeah, really cute in them jeans.
All right, Julie Meow Meow said night, everyone.
Nice. Night, Julie Meow Meow.
About 4 minutes ago, so I don't know if she's still here. And, Cecil says, I'm here till it's over, though. Thanks,
yeah,
Cecil. Love hanging out with you, man. Corny says, good night, y'all.
See you, Cornball.
See you, Corny.
I love you, Corny.
All right, and now let's go to our boy, Nathan Cotton Coy Vance Duke.
Hey, guys, this is Cody. I had kind of a Michael Raven shadowy Friday night.
Yes.
Which is to say I started out by doing something I know Michael Raven Shadow's a fan of, and that is vibing a little bit.
Oh! Yeah.
A few beers.
Yep.
And I followed that up by doing something that Michael Raven Shadow does pretty regularly, does sometimes, and that is watch the movie you guys are covering this
week.
There
you go.
So, yeah, I saw Raw. And I actually wound up recording some voicemails after watching the movie, but they're a little slurry, and they aren't very good, and they're a little long-winded, and they are mostly about how I would fight those kids if they like hazed me like that, if they broke into my dorm, threw my bedding out the window. And actually, as a sober person, that is one of my big takeaways. I am mad about that days later. Just the idea of trying to go to veterinary school so I can help some fucking animals or whatever, and these French like fops break into my room. I don't care if you are trying to take me to some weird EDM sex party. Do not touch my fucking shit.
Right.
Man. Right. I would just thrown like a good Stan Hansen lariat in one of their throats. Just, oh my God. It would be so frustrating. In any case, I did like the movie. It isn't what I'd prepared myself for, which isn't to say like it was a lot harder or like more extreme than I was prepared for. I actually thought it was sort of an odd movie for people to be passing out in, as was the narrative that followed it around. Unless it was, I don't know, people getting squeamish at like the dog autopsy kind of thing, which I don't know. I guess I can see that. As mild as it is, I am crazy about animal stuff. I can't even watch like the Italian cannibal subgenre. I've had to swear off just because I can't stomach it. But even I don't know. Even I was not too bad with that. But I had it in my head that this was a cult thing, rather that it was about like a girl joining a cult. And I guess you could, if you wanted to be ultra generous, you could say that's what this was. But it's not really at all. I'd actually watched a trailer for this, and the trailer was just them lining up to eat the rabbit kidney. The trailer, quote unquote, was just a clip. So I was sort of I was just not prepared for this kind of movie. I just had just going in wanting the cult thing sort of soured me on what I actually got. I did like it though. Popped pretty good for a few different moments. And I did like it. I'll be excited to see what this person does next. Yeah, but it was, I don't know. Like I said, I wish I had indulged a little bit more, looked a little bit further into what this was instead of allowing myself to go in cold as I ordinarily do with stuff I've heard such good things about. So, all right, guys. I hope you've had a good show, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye.
Thank you, Cody. Good to hear from you as always, my friend.
I love that dude so much. Such a great fucker.
Even though he smuggles egg sandwiches into movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
He can't bring them to bed.
What if did a hazing ritual and stole your egg sandwiches, Cody?
That'd be bad. Another thing I was just thinking of, you don't know you're being hazed. Like, right. So fuck people jumping, you start fucking tipping out your stuff. Like, they fucking start tipping over my comic bag and stuff like that. Like, shit be on.
Yeah. In a school, they probably got laptops
I'm not fucking tough, but, like, you know, like, my new defense when, like, a group of people come in a confrontational is I just fucking gear down.
Gear down?
Yeah, like, what are they going to do? Like, holy shit, there's a fucking naked fat guy here. Like, it changes the whole dichotomy of the situation.
What's up now, motherfucker? They put blue paint on you and then put yellow paint on MZ and right. say, don't come out till you're green.
That's fucking hot, dude.
I'm green just thinking about it.
Yeah. You too.
Like, honestly,
yeah,
like...
green with envy.
Yeah, just fucking swinging fucking, little dynamo around. Like, you know, like, people be like, all right, we'll leave your bed alone.
Different kind of lariat.
That's the other thing. You have fucking piss on your bed the first day of school or jail. So nobody fucks with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Prison rules.
Mm-hmm. But I would have fucking, like, those fucking dorks in their fucking dumb dork costumes. I would have thrown them right out the window. They would have landed on my bed. I would have been okay. I hate that. I hate that scene.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, dumb. And I'm not even a tough guy. It's not like I'm Al Gore or anything. Be fucking taking people's arms off and hitting them with it. But, like, I get naked and jump on them, and they'd be unhappy about it. They'd be like, all right, we'll leave this one alone. He's fucking crazy. Yeah.
You can keep your bed.
Just stand in the corner. That's what you do. Like, a gang assaults you, right? You just fucking corner yourself, pull down your pants, start snapping the car. What are they going to do? Be like, oh, sorry. Just make it fucking really awkward.
Yeah.
You want my wallet? You want my wallet?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Take it. Take it. Take it. Jeez. Who's your favorite goalie girl? Take it. Call me Grimlock. Take it. Take my wallet. Come get it. Careful. I could go off at any time. Careful.
I'm going to go off like a water wiggle. Yeah,
that's what you do if you get mugged. See, you learn a lot from me.
Yeah. It's a Master Hunting tip.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we got one more voicemail, and this is from our boy from Anaheim, Joshua Libre.
Yes!
I'm too old for this shit. Yo, what's up, Trick or Treat Radio? Joshua Libre here. Just had a general movie question. Wanted to ask you guys or what your take is on this, this technique, special effects technique of digitally de-aging actors from just to make them look younger. I guess like a recent example would be in the way they de-aged Johnny Depp to make him look like he's in his 20s for Pirates of the Caribbean, like the newest one. And I guess they've done that. They did that with Robert Downey Jr. in one of the Marvel movies. They made him look like straight out of Less Than Zero.
I just wanted to know what you guys think
about this technique. I think the first time I ever saw it was in X-Men 3 when they de-aged Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen to make him look younger. I think that was the first time I ever saw that technique being used. Instead of hiring younger actors that look like them, which they eventually did, I guess, for First Class. To me, like, the best one so far has been the one in Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't want to get too much into the details of who it is, but the one in Guardians to me is like the best one. It looks so amazing, and it just got me thinking, maybe they can do an entire movie with an older actor and just sort of tweak it and make him look like he's in his, you know, in his 20s or 30s or something, and make an entire movie without a flashback, just a straight up movie with an older actor, just sort of making him look younger digitally instead of using makeup and prosthetics and stuff like that. I don't know. I kind of like it. I dig it. You know, it sort of keeps these older actors, still in it, still in the game. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. And I think they're going to have to do that for Indiana Jones Part 5. Because Disney said they're releasing that movie in the year 2020. I think Harrison Ford is going to be about close to 80 by then. I mean, he's getting up there. And I think they're going to have to digitally de-age him to make him look like he's in his 60s or 50s, I guess. I don't know. I guess depends what time period they want to set the movie in. But I don't know. They could do it, you know, for they could do it for Mel Gibson. Maybe he can play in, you know, Mad Max Fury, one of those Fury Road sequels that they George Miller wants to do, or I don't know, maybe get Michael Keaton, make him play Batman again. That would be dope. You know, I don't know. Just kind of thinking out loud. But I don't know. Is there a movie or an actor that you guys would like to see play a younger version of himself, just to for the sake of a story, like of a sequel that never happened? Maybe a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China with Kurt Russell. That'd be dope.
There you go.
I don't know. But yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys just what you guys thought about digitally de-aging older actors. But anyways, thank you guys for the time. Can't wait to listen to the show. I've been checking it out online, watching it on YouTube. You know, I'm late to it, but I try to catch it about halfway through the show, because you never know what you're going to miss. But yeah, anyways, can't wait to check it out. Thank you guys for the time, and talk to you later. Bye.
Can't beat the clock, Briggs.
Wow. Murphy's right. I mean, we're dinosaurs. What am I going to do?
Accept it. Like I do.
No, bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. No, I'm not going to accept it.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to will it not to happen.
Will it?
Yeah.
You know, will it?
I'm not too old for this shit. I'm not too old for this. You will it not. We're not too old for this shit.
We're
not too old for this shit. We're not too old for this. Say it like you believe it. We're not too old for this shit. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
We're not too old for this shit.
I'm not going to buy a hemorrhoid cushion.
We're not too old for this shit.
There you go, Joshua Libre.
Joshua Libre, thanks, man. And, as you heard on the show, there's some a little bit more information about the Rock and Shock Weekend, and I can't wait to fucking hang out with you, man. Yeah. It's going to be the best.
I pop for that de-aging thing so far every time.
So the one we can't talk about, Raven Shadow hasn't seen the fucking movie yet. So, but that one was done, the Guardians one was done supposedly without CGI, which is pretty impressive, I think, because he looked awesome.
It's funny. I think we're getting closer. I don't think we're still there yet. I do like it in small doses. Rogue One was what came to mind for me.
But they didn't really de-age anyone.
No, well, they just made it look like fucking Terrorhawks.
They just CGI'd people who were dead or
sick.
They did. Yeah. See, the thing is, they did de-age Leia, but it wasn't
Leia.
Carrie Fisher. It was basically digitized her face
onto
over
a fucking
over an actress.
Yeah, I hate that. I hated that. That fucking Grand Moff Tarkin looks so fucking bad. I expect him to lean down and go, "Well, Davey,
you thought too trusting."
Am I fine when ready?
Look like Terrorhawks. You know those fucking puppet shows? Like
living.
Living in the 21st century. Living. Bad.
So to address Joshua Libre's question, do you guys have any thoughts about films you'd like to see with characters being de-aged or something along those lines?
He hit nail on the head. Every choice, every time this question is posed, it's fucking Big Trouble in Little China. I love that fucking movie.
So having a 130 years in the future doesn't work for you?
No. I don't know. I mean, this is almost... what was that movie we watched?
The Congress.
The signing over their rights.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, actually. Yeah.
So, I mean, would it be interesting to have, like, Bobby De Niro, Steve McQueen, Bruce Lee, like, to go the one step further and actually just...
Sure.
You know, put the images on new actors.
Yeah, I don't want...
Well, the thing is, I don't think they'd be able to do people who are... Because you need permission from their estate, right?
Well, if you had it.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is now, let's say, for instance, if Ryan Gosling sells his likeness, Mars, maybe he could be in movies for the next 1,000 years.
He needs to stop hanging out with his 1,000-year-old wife. That's a problem. Having messed up Gazelda babies or whatever his name is.
Gazelda babies?
I'm so upset they got married.
So... you know, it is an interesting, and the first thing that comes to mind, and it's just because it's one of my favorite fucking movies, and I'd love to see it pick up from maybe a couple years after, is a Weird Science sequel that takes place maybe a couple years later with Anthony Michael Hall, Ilan Mitchell Smith, and maybe Kelly LeBrock as well. Obviously, we wouldn't have Bill Paxton, unfortunately. But maybe we could bring back
Robert Downey.
Robert Downey Jr.
We could maybe have... maybe you could just always be Chet with elephant balls.
That's true.
Would you like a greasy pork sandwich?
I just want to say...
Served in a dirty ashtray.
I love you.
I would have loved...
For Christ's sakes, recover yourself!
I wanted Han and Luke to meet one more scene together, like in The Falcon, and just for him to be like, hey, kid, you know, if it was like... Not the quite geriatric Star Warriors.
I don't want a whole movie like that. Like one little tidbit I think is cool, you know, if it's kind of like a plot device or whatever else. But like I don't want a whole fucking, like, at some point, it's like any magic trick. It's like CGI, you know, or whatever. The more you show of it, the more you can see the seams.
Yep.
And, you know, I feel like a 90-minute movie of it, like, I don't know. I don't want, like...
Yeah, the magic will be gone by the 10th minute.
I mean, look at Crystal Skull. All I wanted before Crystal Skull was another Indiana Jones movie. Mm. And now, the thought of another Indiana Jones movie of any kind is, like, fucking tantamount to terror. So, you know, I just leave well enough alone. I didn't need... We fought vehemently about this, but I didn't need fucking Harrison Ford and... Mark Hamill and all these people in these Star Wars movies. Like I was ready to move on, you know, like I just, and they did it awesome. They did it the best way they could do it, but I for one don't care for it.
I think for me, just to think about the question, I know he specifically said like an entire movie. I think it's good when used in moderation. If you want to show like a younger, like a character, a scene from them when they were younger, that's okay. I don't want to see a whole movie of it, though. I think that just kind of pushes the boundaries for me. I'd rather them see them get more creative, either by recasting or, you know, setting it further in the future so that they're at the actual age that they, you know,
right
of their real life counterpart. So
it's not the best movie ever, and it's not even one of the best ones of the franchise, but the best way they've ever done this is in Phantasm 4, where they used a bunch of, in time travel scenes, they actually used a bunch of scenes that they had shot for Phantasm that they didn't use. You know, so it's like, you know, they didn't de-age anybody. Nobody like it's, you know. You know, the flip side of that is Phantasm Ravager, where, you know, the tall man looks like a fucking weird mannequin doll.
Right.
Yeah. Any of you guys, anything that comes to mind for that?
While you guys were talking, I've been racking my brain trying to think of one, and I think I came up with one. I'd like to see something in between Clerks and Clerks 2. Like, maybe what happens after, you know, at the end of Clerks, of course, and have Brian O'Halloran and...
Randall,
yeah, and having them CGI'd.
So you're going to spend millions of dollars with bad dick jokes.
Yeah.
Why don't you just fucking watch this show?
Naganooch.
because we tell good jokes.
That's my point, though, to a lesser degree. I do not want to see any Jay and Silent Bob. Like, I do not want to see any more Clerks. Like, in moderation, I appreciate the amount of Clerks and Jay and Silent Bob I have already. You know, like...
Plus, like the thing about that, too, is... And, you know, not to cut down your answer, MZ, but, like... I mean, is there really, like, a fucking, you know, dire need to see what happened between those two movies?
Well, no, it came to mind. Yeah, I mean, shit, I've been racking my... Like I said, I was racking my brain trying to think of something, and that was the only thing I could come up with.
You wouldn't like to see, you know, like, let's see, what's a, like, the people from Buttcrack, like, de-aged back to when they made that.
Going back in.
Cecil says, I think I could live with a digital Donald Pleasance as Dr. Loomis.
It depends. I mean, with... Oh, okay.
CDR actually said something brilliant about that. Like, that's why none of these... and I only actually... I was falling asleep, so I only caught part of it, so I might be totally misquoting him, but that's why none of these Halloween movies are going to work, because the only thing that made Michael Myers special is that he had that crazy guy following him, and the only thing that made that crazy guy special is what it was Donald Pleasance.
I don't know why, but that made me think of The Exorcist, and I certainly wouldn't mind seeing like a younger Reagan or something like that if they ever did an Exorcist thing. I think it's...
Well, thanks, Johnny.
I think it's... not that Reagan. I think it's completely unnecessary, but, you know... Just,
I'll give you Star Wars.
My man.
Anything for you, Raven Channel? You said the Jack Burton, right?
Yeah, it's always Jack Burton for me. But I think we're seeing like more and more like sequels like way past their shelf life, right?
Well,
but just like in terms of like bridging a gap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if, I mean, like this is the Top Gun sequel. Like, do you need that?
It's coming, by the way.
Yeah.
But I mean, have you seen Ash and the Evil Dead yet?
That actually restored my like, or maybe not restored is the word, but a great way to take a franchise years after the fact and being...
And that's what I was saying, is that I think you could be more creative.
Yeah, I would rather see...
And then that's why I would want Jack Burton
like the Pork Chop, like the Pork Chop Express, like Rundown, and you know what I mean? Like that's more funny to me. Because here's the thing about Big Trouble in Little China, why you can have a 60-year-old Jack Burton. He didn't do hardly any of the heavy lifting.
He wasn't the hero.
Yeah.
It was Wang all day. He was the Green Hornet. You know what I mean? Like, but maybe to bridge. Like, and I do agree that too much is.
And James Hong is still kicking. So you wouldn't necessarily get him back, but given what happened in the movie, but
why? Oh, James Hong. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Wang. Yes. But no.
Lopan.
I do like the aging gunfire. Gunfighter more and more. Maybe as I get older, you know, it's like, hey, it's old.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Joshua Libre. It was an interesting question.
Dark Knight Returns. It's my kind of litmus for.
Yeah,
it can be badass, you know.
Unforgiven.
Sure. Unforgiven.
All right. Well, I think that's it for voicemail, dudes.
I'm gonna go home and do masturbate.
Why are you guys fucking clapping?
He ain't the only one.
snap the carrot. Burk the jerga. Wow. Tug the weed. Plant some seeds.
What the fuck?
Yeah, we get the feeling if Michael Raymond Shadow was snapping the carrot on the couch and you walked in the room, you couldn't see him. It would look like a small train was going by. Just puffs.
What? It's a big fucking train.
What?
I don't know what that means.
That's how I can
see. Like just puffs of smoke coming up over there.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
No, I get it. Yeah,
no, sure. I get it, but it...
You don't understand it.
I don't want to understand it.
I don't think I get it.
Well, we're just about to finish it.
Oh, wow. I think something's kicking in.
24 hours. I've been up for a long time.
All right. Well, Raven Shadow.
Yes.
We never did your fucking flashbacks. We promised the folks.
Oh, fuck that.
Just give us the best ones.
Yeah, just quit real quick. I don't want to let people down. People look forward to the flashbacks, you know?
Well, that was a long time ago, John. Let me go back to... No, it's very exciting.
It is.
You know, I think in honor of my appearance in the Cabal Corner, where you can find that if you're friends with Corny or J-Mac or Slagoth, because they sent it to me.
Yeah.
I looked it up one time, and I found some weird site. Like, I understand how my old man got the porn, I think, because it was some weird German thing.
What were you looking up?
The HTTPP slash the thing.
Don't
that they,
do that.
Why would I not do that?
Trickortreatradio.com.
I can find us. That was on the link for their Cabal Corner. You know what? What we didn't know.
Cabal Corner, get on fucking iTunes and Stitcher.
It's not charming anymore. I want to listen to you guys and be able to use my phone.
Seriously, but for you guys and your gamma,
I love you.
This is some fun facts about Alabama.
Oh, for Julie Meow Meows.
Yeah.
And for Corny.
For Koofy.
Koofy Kingston. Alabama introduced the Mardi Gras to the Western world.
The Mardi Gras.
That's what it says. The Mardi Gras.
Is that like going to Lamaze class?
The Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. I just broke my Yeah, Mardi Grazie. It's the world's first, speaking of Dynamo's joke that he enjoyed so much, the world's first electric trolley system was introduced in Montgomery in 1886.
Wow. Amazing.
So it's fucking amazing.
These don't work as well at the end of the show. No. note to self.
What state is Alabama in? I don't know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Alabama's boy.
Wait, whoa. Go back to that last one.
What
state is Alabama in?
I'm glad you asked, Johnny. Air quotes, Alabama is bordered by the states of Tennessee to the north, Georgia to the east, Florida to the south, and Mississippi to the west.
You said what state is it in?
That's one of the flashbacks. They didn't quite answer.
Wow.
That's what it says. It said what? I'm just reading the fucking thing.
I'm going to fucking kill you, John.
I got bad eyes. There's some more items here.
You got to make me eat a rabbit kidney?
Yeah, real nice.
I'm going to make you eat his kidneys.
The town of Enterprise houses the Bo Weevil Monument to acknowledge the role this destructive...
The Bo Weevil Monument. What?
The Bo Weevil Monument.
The Bo Weevil Monument.
Yeah. The town of Enterprise... Fuck, I lost a fucking flashback.
Of course you did.
They had a... I guess there was some destructive Bo Weevils corny back then. Bo Weevil. Yeah.
I don't even know what you're saying.
Come on. Bo Weevil.
Johnny, you are a dead man.
Ball Weevil.
We sign off. You are dead.
The town of Enterprise.
Bo houses... and Luke Weevil.
The Bo Weevil. to acknowledge the role this destructive insect played in encouraging farmers to grow crops. Wait, whoa. This is fascinating. Johnny, the town. Listen. You don't even notice. Corny, call in. The town of Enterprise houses the Bo Weevil Monument to acknowledge the role this destructive insect played in encouraging farmers to grow crops other than cotton. So they like were like, psst, Farmer John, grow crops. Did they like order machinations? That's fucking weird.
Bo Weevil.
A skeleton of a prehistoric man was found in Russell Cave.
One more. Yeah, make it a good
in my
one.
Hand. I'm ready to leave.
All make right. it a good one.
At 2,405 feet, Cheeha Mountain is Alabama's highest point above Cheeha? Sea level. Cheeha. Cheeha Joe.
Cheeha.
That's what Bo and Luke Weevil said.
Bo and Luke Weevil.
Oh, this
Weevil.
Is fucking crazy. In 1902, Dr. Luther Leonidas Hill performed the first open heart surgery in the Western Hemisphere by suturing a stab wound in a young boy's heart. The surgery occurred in Montgomery. Luther Leonidas. How fucking dope is that?
You're done. You're cut off. You're all fucking done. Are you going to have some more flashbacks for us next week?
Yeah, I'm going to get all kinds of stuff. The world Alabama means tribal town in the Creek Indian language.
The world Alabama means.
Good. The word. Hitler's typewriter survived from his mountain retreat and is exhibited at the Hall of History in Bessemer.
Cecil says farmers. Raven Shadows, believe it or not.
The pecan is the Alabama's... Wait, is there... Listen.
The pecan.
The pecan is the Alabama's official nut.
And you're our official nut. Shut the fucking show down,
people
Johnny.
People from Alabama right, called Alabamians.
Alabamians, you're cut off. You're done, MZ. Say goodbye.
Arrivederci, douchebag. See you in 2 weeks.
Fucking asshole.
God damn it.
Leaving
you'll
us
live.
For a week.
You'll fucking live.
2 weeks. All right, Raven Chattel.
Vacation next week.
Live fast.
I don't ever get to go on fucking vacation.
You having surgery done?
Yeah, I'm still. You don't think about fucking yeah,
that's
up?
Considered
you're
vacation?
You're having surgery done.
That's vacation, huh?
Wow.
No.
Yeah, send us a postcard after everything's all done.
Send a self-addressed stamp.
No, I think what we all should just do is live fast, love hard, die with your mask on.
I don't think everyone should do that.
Well, some people. That's a reference, MZ. You got angry last week when you were being mean to me, hurt my feelings. that's a reference to a really bad 80s comic called the Brat Pack.
It wasn't bad.
Well, I mean, it was kind of very gross and dirty, but it was taking the piss at teen superheroes, but it made like it over the top, like so a lot of like drug
over
abuse,
the top,
over the top.
It was like a parable the between the Rat the Pack,
right?
Not the Rat Pack, the
80s,
like Charlie Sheen and like that crew,
Emilio Estevez,
yeah, and like teen, like the Teen Titans. It was like the movie we watched this week. It was better conceptually than it actually was.
Agreed, and yeah, that was one of the taglines to it. The cover art had like
much like the flash facts for tonight.
I actually had a punk song in the Dead Groovies where I used that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, Mars Man.
Remember, children, wherever you go, there you are.
All right, everyone, thank you for tuning in to episode, what was this, 253, I think? 253, yeah. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, for contributing, everyone for joining us for the live show. We had a big crew hanging out tonight. We appreciate it, guys. And for everyone listening to the podcast when it drops on Fridays on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Satchel Podcast Player, you guys are fucking awesome. And next week, we're going to review Prevenge, and hopefully we'll find a replacement for MZ. Forever!
Ooh.
Anything
can happen. It's true. On Wednesday night, Raw.
Anything can happen.